The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. We're obviously back from Denver. Tail between our legs because, the Patriots threw up a stinker, unfortunately, in the biggest game of the season. Very, very disappointing. I honestly thought the Patriots had a chance to win that game. And the reasons why I thought they did were the reasons why they lost. They just weren't the tougher team. And that's what happens, and you lose 26-16. It really wasn't even that close when you think about it. So we'll talk about that. We're obviously going to talk about Bill Belichick's reaction, particularly yesterday, to the Talib play in the Welker play. A little out of character for Bill. He's talked about plays and rulings in the league before, but that was a little bit different. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about going forward. What's next for the Patriots? So as always in the off season, these are some of our best shows, I think, because we're still here while everybody else is turning their attention elsewhere, and we have no choice. So but we love it, and
we have no choice, but we love it.
And we're going to be talking Patriots for the next 2 hours. And 2 days a week from here on in until next season, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 2, PFW in Progress. And hopefully we'll be getting players this offseason as they come in, do the car wash, stop in, talk to us for 10, 15 minutes. We'll be talking about the draft and free agency. And
hopefully we'll get Larry Fitzgerald after the trade, please. Be the first place to have him.
Off-season stuff. And, you know, we'll get into a little bit about the Super Bowl matchup. You know, I think it's going to be a good game.
Oh, stop the crap. Give me some honesty here.
About what?
I don't want, we're going to set the table. I want some emotion.
Well, I said.
Are you pissed? Sad? Disappointed?
He's trying to be a real radio host.
Well, I don't like it. That's not the way we've carved things out here.
Like I said, I'm really disappointed. You know, but I'm not devastated. You know, even 11, I was more devastated than this game because 11... Man, they had a shot.
And they were the better team.
They were as good. You know,
I think they were the better team.
Maybe.
In Indianapolis? Against the Giants?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they were.
Well, anyway, very close. But this game, they were outplayed every facet of the game. And right from the first quarter, you're like, ooh, this is not feeling good. You know, Jamie Collins flashes a couple times. And I'm thinking to myself, I remember distinctly thinking, that's great for him, but if he's the guy we're counting on today, we're in trouble. I thought about it then, and, you know, when the first 2-3 and outs happened, I was like, okay, they go long to Slater. they're feeling out Denver. They're feeling out the defense, seeing what they're going to do when we do things. Okay, I'm not worried about that because, you know, the defense held them to three and you know, three and out at first. Not three and out.
Seven and out.
Yeah, seven and out.
Yeah.
And then they held them to three the next series. So, okay.
You weren't mad at the Slater thing?
Yeah, it's well, funny how Andy and I had an exact opposite impression of the first couple of series.
I wasn't mad. I was like, okay, they're taking a shot here to see what Denver's doing. And the fastest guy on the team is Slater.
Third and manageable.
No, I know.
That's what we're doing?
I know.
That's really what we're doing there?
Yeah, especially when, I guess, I didn't see it, but people say Amendola was wide open over the middle.
I don't even care like that. I just felt like Matthew Slater on third and short to open the game, and we're throwing all right, I guess we feel like we're just – we're not competitive.
We had some TV
tonight.
Issues here at the stadium on Sunday. Andy and I, when we got finished with the pregame social, so we're bouncing back and forth. I was actually in my office watching the beginning of the game. We're trying to get the TV straightened out, and after that second series, I went back in and I said to Andy, I said, I just picked this team and we just threw the ball in order on the first four plays to Edelman, Colley, Mulligan, and Slater,
right.
And I picked this team to win.
Yeah.
I was like incensed.
But see, to me, all those early plays wouldn't have mattered. I just figured, yeah, they're trying different things to see what Denver's doing. They're feeling them out, sort of like a boxer in the ring. They're not really getting serious yet. But then when it was time to get serious, they had nothing. They had nothing.
You disappointed me because I envisioned you saying, really? We're throwing a Matthew Slater on third and short, really?
And I'll tell you.
I took care of you, Andy.
Really?
No. I gave you what you were
Eric
looking
was
for.
Eric was sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
And the thing that most disappointed me, and I think Paul said it right the other day, because the thing about this game is you can't blame just one person.
That's why I love it.
It was a spread-out game in terms of the blame pie, but to me the most disappointing thing of the whole game was the offensive line. Whether it's protecting Brady or opening holes, I just really expected them to win that battle, and they didn't.
That's fair.
You know,
I wrote in the paper, I certainly don't expect when you're going to go for a fourth and three that Logan Mankins is going to get bitch slapped by Terrence Knight and
end
the game.
Yeah.
Because I think that ended the game. The game ended right there.
Yeah.
When he bitch slapped and blew by him, sacked Brady. Like, even Brady rolled up almost like in shock, like, That's the last place he thought the pressure would be coming from.
Right. I thought that ended the game too, and I thought that was a bad decision to go for it. I thought you make it a 2-score game there at 20-6, and I think you extend the game. You're chasing. It's almost like basketball. At the end of a basketball game, you're trying to maximize possessions and extend the game.
Yeah.
That's why teams foul and they try to get it so they can get to a situation where it's a one possession game.
I hear what you're saying.
It was a 3-score game and then they went for it and it was still a 3-score game.
The way I was thinking though, and I wrote this, I said, you know, it was 4th and 2. I said, you know what? If they can't convert a 4th and 2 here, they can't come back from 17. So it doesn't matter. You might as well go for it.
I thought, and I tweeted it at the time, the overthrow to Edelman. After the Broncos had kicked the field goal, they're up 3-0. New England responds. I think it was only like the second or third play after the field goal. Edelman got wide open on a great play action fake. And I said, you know what? I think that play is going to come back and haunt them because if he catches that, it's a touchdown. He just has to turn up field 20 yards.
Right.
He's in the end zone. It's 7-3. The dynamic changes.
Of course it does.
And
huge.
I thought it was interesting that
Brady
admitted that on the radio yesterday.
Yes, it puts something in Manning's mind that I got to score points. It changes everything to a degree because now, okay, the Patriots are going to be able to score today.
And they have a lead.
Right.
Which they didn't have all game.
Right.
Which maybe changes some of the play calling on the other side.
And to couple that, they miss the play and they end up having to punt eventually. And then Indy takes a 2-score lead. Not only they never led, they were never within 1 score the rest of the game.
Yeah.
They were behind by 2 scores or more the rest of the game from the point that they made it 10-0 on the very next drive after missing Edelman.
Now, obviously defense is part of the blame too, but 13-3 at the half, you know, I'm like, this isn't the defense's fault. You know, I'm sorry.
On the scoreboard, it wasn't. They were just marching up and down.
But we knew they were going to do that. Is that a surprise?
It was very Super Bowl-esque.
I mean, I wrote before the game, look, Peyton Manning's going to get his yards today.
Well, I didn't.
We knew that.
I didn't expect.
There's no way the Patriots are going to shut him down from marching up and down.
No, not shut him down, but make a play.
I wasn't expecting all four of their targets to be open on every play. It was uncompetitive.
I had made the comment about, I didn't like the matchup for any of those four things.
You
and
did.
By the way,
you did.
This was before Tlaib went out.
Right.
Because he actually threw for his, He threw for 125 yards before Tlaib went out. He came out 17 minutes into that. It was 2 minutes into the second quarter.
Into the second quarter, yeah.
So he threw for a higher percentage with Tlaib on the field than he threw without him on the field.
The Patriots would have lost this game with Tlaib.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go there right away and not blame anything on the loss of Tlaib. They would have lost with Tlaib. I said it seemed like even with Tlaib that they had 13 players and we had 11. You know, just because.
Did they? Did you check?
And the thing that,
but again, I think, you know, people were saying, well, why don't they blitz more? You know, these guys are wide open. But I think it's kind of by design. I know people don't like to hear the bend but don't break, but being wide open and then tackling the guy is different than being wide open and then going for a touchdown, which would have happened if you blitz, because Manning's going to kill you.
I think you're right, Fred, because I think they did blitz a few times and it didn't matter. They didn't come close. Kyle Arrington came out of the slot one play, and he actually beat Moreno, I thought, with a pretty good move wide, but Manning just gets rid of the ball so much. Late in the game, that little throw to Tammy that Andy and I, you and I talked about a lot during the game, we were saying how if they hadn't had an onside kick, that's a tougher play to run from your own 20 than it is from midfield. You know, you ran the ball, you got stopped, and they throw that little play to Tammy, and that was it, you know, for all intents and purposes. They blitzed, they rushed six on that play, and Manning just, he sees it coming, he knows it's coming.
Right.
When the weather is not there to help you, you cannot stop him.
But I don't really blame – I think a lot of times, though, on defense, they guessed. And I think that's why sometimes you'd end up with Jamie Collins and Demaryius Thomas, because they were outmanned. Paul's absolutely right. They had the advantage on every matchup pretty much. So the Patriots had to really guess. And when they guessed wrong, you end up with Demaryius Thomas 60 yards downfield, you know, with Jamie Collins on him. And they had to do that. And so I think that – this game had to be won by the offense, and they just were not up to the task. And I go back to, I think the offensive line to me is number one. Number two is Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I was actually thinking of Paul, because I did my usual WJAB Monday morning main hit, and the very first question was, Andy, a lot of blame to go around. Yes, they got beat in all areas, but you got to start with number 12. He was awful.
Really?
He was horrific. And I said,
maybe it's just a Boston thing.
I said, well, I don't think he was good. I don't know if horrific. I mean, they were like, he was the worst, could not have. And I don't know if he was that bad, but he didn't make plays they needed. He didn't make the plays they needed to stay competitive.
No, well, he missed some big plays. He did
those
make plays. I mean, if you look at his numbers.
Garbage time.
Those were numbers that he was getting in 03 when they were
killing people.
But Fred, look at his numbers through three and a half quarters.
Yeah.
That's not what he was doing in 03.
But
he got all of that in the last 8 minutes of the game.
He sucked as much as everybody else.
Well,
I don't put him any bigger or less. I think they get their asses kicked in every aspect of the game.
I think the problem is, in a game like that, and Brady knew that, he said this going in and he said this all season, the line is very thin. In a game like that, when Edelman's wide open, you have to hit him.
Yep.
I mean, there's no excuse.
Nope.
He took the blame for it, though.
Of course he did, but he still didn't make the play.
Right. Get rid of him!
You know, and even the one to, who was it? Amendola down the, was Colley down the sideline?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He really
the ball,
screwed me on that one.
It was a much, much tougher play, and he wasn't wide open, but the ball was out of bounds. It didn't even give him a chance.
Right. Never gave him a chance.
Yeah. Colley wouldn't have scored. But he would have gotten a
field
goal.
Big play.
That's a field goal.
At least, yeah.
Well,
that's,
to me,
I mean, they only had time for one more play after that, so it probably would have been a field goal.
So it's offensive line, then Tom Brady, you know?
Yeah, but then everybody else, I mean.
And then everybody else,
they got,
you know, right
they,
behind.
You know, the personnel losses,
Ninkovich and Jones
piled up on.
You might have wanted to even get close enough to say hello to Peyton Manning.
Right.
Other than that one time when Jim Nantz said
he actually did say hello.
That was the only hurry all day. No hits.
I know.
No knockdowns. No nothing.
Nothing.
You can't do that. My whole kill the head. They didn't kill the head. They never even got close enough to sniff the head.
Absolutely.
And I made the comment that if you didn't have weather to help, you can't stop him. Well, that's the I mean, unless you can get pressure with those four guys, and they didn't.
At the Open, you said that we're back from Denver, tail between our legs, I think was the phrase you used. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they should be proud that they got as far as they did.
I thought it was a failure to you.
They did not play even at their state to their potential.
They didn't play with a lot of energy, but I think that was kind of to be expected given that I think they were running on fumes as it was.
Oh yeah,
losing all the players they did.
That's why I don't blame the defense that much. I don't blame the defense that much. Other than Gronkowski, this is the offense that they knew they were going to have, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
Okay, Hernandez, but yeah, but that happened a while ago, you know.
Right, it's, but it's still a factor.
Yeah, it is.
The when they constructed their team, he was part of it.
Yes, but they had an opportunity to make up
Amendola,
for that.
One target, zero catches is your offense.
Yeah, Gronkowski, they knew he was going to be hurt. They didn't know he was going to get hurt again.
Right,
and so that okay, but other than that, they were pretty healthy, including the offensive line. Now you know Vollmer was out, but you know offensive linemen every.
You had four. The other four guys, three of them started 16 games, and Solder started 15.
Right.
So yeah, it was Vollmer. You lost Vollmer, and I'm not just dismissing that.
Right.
But
Marcus Cannon's, you know,
Cannon filled in, and you know, I don't think that was a huge issue. Certainly moving forward.
But they didn't play well in that game. That's for sure.
No. Yeah. They didn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it's going to sound like I'm being 20/20 hindsight, and I'm not. I thought the Broncos would make mistakes. And I would, that was the my reasoning was I didn't think that Denver would be able to play a clean game. I thought, yeah, as you said, Fred, the tougher part, the mentally tougher and all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
I thought the Patriots had that in spades over the Broncos going in, and that was where I was wrong.
Yeah.
But man for man, lining up, I didn't think the Patriots would be able to run the ball on Denver. I said that many times last week. Tom Brady would need to have a good game in order for the Patriots to get in a shootout with Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to win it, they were going to need him to be able to throw the ball around. Because I didn't think they'd be able to run the ball because this wasn't Buffalo.
Right.
This wasn't Indianapolis. This wasn't a bottom three run defense. It was a top 10 run defense.
And it seemed like they knew that and kind of gave up very early on trying to run the ball. Yeah.
They knew they weren't going to be able to run the ball.
I don't blame them for giving up. I know a lot of people criticize.
It was a smart thing to do. Because if you watch what San Diego did the week before, and they just pounded into that cement wall for three-plus quarters before – finally, it's the fourth quarter. I'm 17 down. I got to throw the ball. And, whoa, by the way, I had some success throwing it around.
Yeah.
Bill and Josh said, you know, all right, we can run the ball a little bit early. We'll see if we can set up some play action, if we can have some success. They never had any success. Play action was never a part of the game. And they tried to spread it out and throw a little bit.
Right.
And when they threw the ball, they didn't do it with any effectiveness because they don't have anybody to throw to.
But like Eric says, overall – I think this was a great season. I'm very proud of the team. I think they did more than, you know.
They overachieved.
Yeah, they overachieved. But, you know, when it comes to the game, I was more disappointed than angry. I was just disappointed, you know, but I wasn't devastated because, like I think they did overachieve and I think they went as far as they could possibly go.
I think that also comes with losing decisively.
Yeah.
Like when you look back to those, the Super Bowl games and you can point to one play. Those are crushers.
Right, then I'm crushed.
What one play are you going to point to in this game?
Right, right. So that's where we are. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PASS-500. We haven't talked yet about.
Oh, by the way, Fred, just let me interrupt you for a second. Andy called out some international guys on Sunday. They were coming in droves.
Oh, wow.
He was reading off the international numbers like he can only Andy can do.
Yeah.
You know, like
827-550-3871. Well, I pick different ways to – every time I give it a different way, whether it's in groups of two, groups of three, or I'll say it like 5,724-91.
It's like you're calling out signals.
Because I don't actually know what the
we
the
got
norms
calls
of
from,
that
from our
are.
International lines on Sunday. The people were –
No, traffic was great.
They were
then,
ready.
Of course – we fell off the cliff once the game was over.
Yeah. That's going to happen. I did put out a call
we
at
tried
the end
to,
of the pregame social because, you know, I was picking the Broncos to win, so I knew this was going to happen. Not to give up. This is
the postgame
we're
show
a community.
Too.
Stick with us. We'll talk through it. We'll move on. And yet I still don't think they're going to do it.
we came down and did the postgame show with Beadle.
Oh, yeah?
And, Andy said, listen, every time we lose in the playoffs – it's the same pattern. We hear from you back in like May, and everybody says, you know, I haven't been able to listen the last couple of months. I've been down about the game. Mm. We need you. Now is when we need you, right, Fred?
Right.
Anybody can be there when you're winning.
That's right.
Now's the time when we need you.
Yeah. So
to buy lunch.
After the game, Bill was asked about the Tlaib Welker hit on Tlaib. He said, you know, I'll look at the film. The next morning, obviously, he had looked at the film and made it a point to call out Welker. Not by name, the player.
Yeah, that was
receiver.
Interesting.
And say that, you know, and what I think a lot of people are really shocked at to hear him say, one of the worst plays I've ever seen. Obviously, that can't be true. I mean, he's been in the league over 30 years, and I've seen more egregious plays than that. You know, so, you know, there's no...
Daryl Stingley comes to mind
yeah,
immediately.
There's no doubt that he...
doesn't like Wes Welker, and looked at this as an opportunity. In my opinion, and I know you guys probably disagree, I think he also looked at it as an opportunity to stick up for his own player, Talib, and to show, you know, that I've got your back. And, you know, probably also thinking that I got to re-sign this guy, and I want this guy to feel like he's really wanted here.
I can see that.
So I think it was a combination of both those things. It was everyone was shocked. I mean, listening to sports radio today, the usual rump swabs are like, you know, Bill really hurt his brand by what he did. Not, you know, some people said he hurt the Patriots brand, but I think more people are saying Bill hurt his own brand by doing what he did.
Well, his own consistency.
It's kind of nice to stick it in Bill's face every once in a while. So he hurt his own definitely a good one.
Track record of consistency and sort of sticking
to
the plan.
Well, I mean, he's talked about
Called out somebody like that before.
Well, no, he's talked about problems with the league and referees and rules. And, you know, he's done that. He's made a point to, like, bring things up like that. But never like this where, you know, he said the player took Talib out. And the inference there is not of the play, but of the game.
Deliberate, he said.
This is some sort of allusion to a Greg Williams type thing. They targeted a player to take him out of the game.
So that's pretty strong.
Right.
That's really strong, you know. And
inappropriate.
Him concluding with, it's the worst play I've seen, tells you there's no gray area. He's not talking about taking him out of the play. He's talking about taking him out of the game.
Taking him out of the game.
You know, that's, as he would say, that's so ridiculous. So,
and it comes, Freddie, on, what was it, 2-3 plays after Julian Edelman had launched himself at a Broncos corner, Dominic,
which
Rogers
I also had no problem with, by the way. I mean, in fairness.
Well, but if you look
different
at different
plays, but Edelman's hit was cheaper. He launched himself into the head and neck area of a defensive back.
Yeah. Now, when the play happened, Belichick was 20 yards on the field. He was irate. He wanted a flag on the play right then and there. And I think what made him even more mad, the fact beyond thinking it was a penalty, was that Talib couldn't get back in the game. And then it was Wes Welker, and there's no doubt that, you know, despite what he said before, he doesn't like this guy.
Right.
He doesn't like Welker. And, you know, now everyone's going back and looking at the different incidents and why he doesn't like Welker.
See, the thing that if Bill had made the comments he made yesterday in the post-game press conference, I'd be more apt to give him some slack because I'm figuring they just lost. It's 15 minutes after the game. His emotions are raw.
His only time seeing it was live.
The fact that he came back, watched the film, had, you know, a little bit of time to rest up and compose himself, surprised me even more that he went to those lengths. You look at the film, I don't see how you can say that that was he was intending to hurt.
But he definitely intended to hit him. But
he was setting a pick.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure he intended to hit him. I actually think he tried to get out of the way.
I think he tried.
I think he realized they were both going to the same spot, and then I think he pulled a Paul Perillo and shied away from contact.
I think it's probably
which was probably good for him to get his head out of there.
I think it's probably a penalty. But to make the
but
leap.
But the penalty isn't
to make
regard,
the leap that he made.
The not penalty about the has hit. Nothing it's, to do with the hit. The penalty
when the ball got
the timing.
And it's
right,
close.
The timing.
And if you believe he hits him before the ball gets to the receiver, which I do think it is very, very
close. It's very close.
I actually think
I have the still picture of him hitting and the ball about 10 feet away from the receiver.
It's
so it was very fast. It was very close.
You can't even possibly believe that.
I'll show you the picture.
10 feet away.
I'll show you the picture.
Okay. The pass may not even have traveled 10 feet.
Okay, I'm going to show you the picture anyway.
Well, it traveled 10 feet.
But anyway, I agree.
Here's where I have to bring some clarity to both sides.
I mean, as long as we're going to go ridiculous on both sides, I'll go ridiculous on the other side. I mean, the ball was 10 feet away. It was like a millisecond between the contact with the hand and the contact with the body.
A ball that 10 feet is a millisecond, but that's in the still picture. You can see the ball about 10 feet away from the receiver and the hit being made.
I've seen the play many
times. I'm talking about a still photo, Paul.
Yeah, well, still photos can be very deceptive.
Well, not when you're talking about a ball here and a hit here and the receiver in the middle.
Okay,
we're getting off the overall.
Again, Paul thinks I'm lying. Because I've seen it. I don't need to argue with you.
You obviously haven't seen this photo.
I've seen the play broken down a million times. I don't need to see it again. It may have been a penalty. It may not have been. It was that close.
It was a very close call.
It was a tough call
to make for a referee because it is bang-bang.
But I will say that Pereira, Pereira was very definitive. It's not a penalty. It was simultaneous or whatever, and he didn't even acknowledge that it was close. Bang! He flat out a number of times kept tweeting, "Not a penalty, not a penalty."
I saw that. And the other guy, was it Diopoulos? What's how do you pronounce that guy's name, Freddie? Jim Diopoulos?
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about? Though? No. He's like a supervisor of officials.
I thought that was Blandino.
No, not the NFL's guy.
Oh, he's another.
He's a past
ESPN,
guy. He might even be like a. He might be in charge of a crew on site. He might be like an on site. You're not the head cheese.
Okay.
Like Pereira was. He said it was a penalty, but to me, just the fact that two guys in supervisory positions can look at a play and have opposite views tells you it's not what Bill Belichick said.
But again,
it's
a penalty for timing.
That's what I'm saying.
Not a penalty of unnecessary roughness.
You're right.
Or trying to injure things that Bill is implying have a much more ugly tone to them than simply, it looked like he was there a half a second early. Bill's putting an implication that essentially
they took him out.
A hit was put on Aqib Talib, and I mean the mob type hit. Yeah, a hit was to take him out of the game. That's the implication. When you say it, you've been in the league for 39 years, and that goes back to the days when bad stuff actually was allowed to happen a lot. Yeah. You know, you watch those NFL films and like clotheslines.
George Atkinson.
You know, I've joked to him.
The clothesline on Lynn Swann.
When two receivers come and one has thrown the ball and they just decide, I'm going to hit the other one because he's more important and I'm going to take him out of the game. Bill lived in that era. He coached in that era. To say that this is the worst you've seen, come on now.
Now, one thing about Bill that he's always been very consistent about is sticking up for his players. He hates it when anyone questions his loyalty to his players or his player, you know, it's true.
Oh, believe me, I learned that lesson
the
hard way.
And so I think this is one of those cases where, you know, he felt maybe, you know, besides it being Welker, that I need to stick up for one of my guys.
Yeah, I've heard that theory and that it's going to be, you know, I think Florio wrote it. Somebody wrote it and that it's, you know, it plays into re-signing him. I think you can do that without. I think this was as questionable a thing as we have ever heard Bill Belichick say in a press conference.
Yeah, and you're not alone. I mean, a lot of people are shocked. And I'm not talking about people that are critical of Bill Belichick. I'm talking about people who are always behind Bill Belichick. This kind of shocked them.
Well, how about, I mean, Bill Belichick holds his players to a certain standard when they speak with the media. And, you know, Dante Stallworth was talking about it today, getting chewed out for the most minor of things. He used the example back in 07, all the receivers were asked, what was Moss's best catch in your opinion? And they all answered it. And they all got called into the office the next morning and reamed out, absolutely chewed out. And he still doesn't really know why. Because they answered what. To me, this is something where if I'm a boss of Bill Belichick, I at least bring him in and say, well, what was the intent here? You know, we have media policy as pretty high on our list of things that we worry about in this organization. What was the intent?
How was this in the best interest of the team?
How were you spinning this? I would do that. I don't know if that would be done around here. I mean, obviously, that's Robert Kraft. There's only one person above Bill Belichick in this organization. That's Robert Kraft. But I would need to know, what are we doing here? What was the intent? Because it's not playing very well, Bill. I'll tell you that much. I've been listening, and I've talked to my PR guys and the public. Because I've heard a lot of fans very critical of him.
I have,
you know,
too.
And that has been a little bit surprising. I heard one guy call this morning, you know, Belichick makes sure his players don't say anything in the media. Maybe he should worry about not saying something himself. This was a case where he should have kept his mouth shut, and he really makes everybody look bad. And that has really surprised me, how many fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've gotten, even before he said that, the emails that I'm getting are
fire Belichick.
But those are people that don't.
Right.
I'm talking, I think.
Kraft is cheap.
We're talking about people that generally, whatever Bill does, it's in Bill we trust. And they can't understand what his motivation
was. That's what I'm talking about,
like,
too.
Like, super fans within this building, I won't use their name, but said, did you think that Welker hit was dirty? And I said, no. And they, me either. So why is Belichick all worked up over it? And I said, I don't know.
I got an email yesterday afternoon from someone who is over the top Belichick hoodie kind of guy. Just, I mean, everything, every move they've ever made, he'll tell you why it was the right thing. And he was really upset about it. And the first thing he said, he goes, he just wants to take it away, take attention away from the fact that this team was not prepared to play in the game. They got completely outcoached and they got outclassed. Now, I didn't necessarily agree with that, but to me, the fact that that came from a guy who normally is really, really, I'm telling you, he's a Belichick hoodie guy. I mean, he can do no wrong in this guy's
Steve
eyes.
Steve DiOsi was very critical yesterday, midday.
Yeah.
Right after it happened, basically. He was very critical, and You know, he has a long on and off field relationship with Bill Belichick, which surprised me how critical he was.
You know, it was kind of ironic, and I don't know how you felt, Fred. I don't know how much you saw of the post game, because I'm sure you were busy with stuff.
Well, I caught up afterwards.
Yeah. I thought Bill post game was as solid as he's been after a big loss as I can remember.
And it's like he couldn't handle that he was so good. He had to ruin it the next morning.
No, and this goes back to my whole thing about how he feels about his players. I think, you know, in that post game, his eyes were red. He might have been crying. He looked like he got choked up a couple times during the press conference.
He kept saying how proud he was to coach this team.
To be fair, we were in Denver, so he could have just been walking down the street and gotten some secondhand.
But I think that this year, you know, was a special year. I think
a lot of secondhand.
You know, with all the next man up and these young kids and guys that, you know, probably would be hard pressed to make a practice squad, had to be thrust in there to play. I think he had a special feeling for this team, and I think that came out after the game in that press conference where, you know, it was a combination of, wow, I'm so proud of him. I'm also disappointed that it went out this way. You know, but at the end of the day, just really proud of all the players. And then on top of that, have this happen to Tlaib. I think the emotion did get the best of him, and it carried over till Monday.
Yeah, but how?
Yeah, I just.
It's usually the opposite, though. Your emotions are raw initially.
I could excuse it if it was the other way around.
I know. That's what Eric said, too, and I agree. I just think this was a special season for him, and that's why you saw the emotion after the game.
And that was wonderful. Yeah. I agree. That came across. I thought it was very impressive. I thought, you know, he talked about early in January about, you know, the idea is to play your best football, maximize your, and I think he probably thinks they maximized what they had.
Yes.
And then he ruined it the next morning. And the next morning, I mean, he has Bears Najarian, who sits at every press conference. I don't know how it works. I don't know if Bears says, you know, what are you opening with today? And Bears goes, let the record show. I'm not sure that's a good idea. I don't know how that goes back and forth. If he just observes and critiques later, if he has input onto what Bill says.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, if he went, you know, the press conference yesterday obviously was a lot longer than just that. It was almost a half-hour press conference.
Yeah, we should include that was part of his opening remarks. That was not prompted.
Right.
He was not asked about that.
No, I know.
And then he said he wasn't going to talk about it again, and he didn't.
Right.
Right.
You know, so there were a lot there, but I think if he had, if the theme of the press conference was, you know, like I said last night, I'm just so proud of this team.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And, boy, I think that would have given people a good feeling going into 2014.
Because that's kind of the way the rest of the press conference went.
And that's right. The way it should be, because this was an odd season that started out with a murder and letting Wes Welker go and all that stuff. And it was just an odd season, and there was a lot of adversity. And that should be what we remember this team by.
So we would have saved for three sentences.
There was one funny thing, though, during the press conference that I thought of that I knew would make you laugh. He was talking about, like, issues that come up during the season that, you know,
the top drawer?
Yeah, you put them in the drawer because you don't have time, and then the season's over, you open it up, and you try to handle them one-on-one. And he said a lot of those are players that come to you and say, hey, you know, out of respect, I know we're in the middle of the season, so I don't want to bother you, but, you know, and it's issues that they have with other players, coaches, or other people in the organization.
Uh-huh.
And all I'm thinking about is PFW.
What do we do now?
And also, I think we should mention part of the presser, he talked a few times about, as happens every offseason, changes to the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And there's a report out today that Pepper Johnson's not going to be back.
Right. Right.
Yeah, Pepper had a long statement that he issued, I think, to Mike Reese.
Yes.
Well, at least that's the only place I saw it. And we put that's up on our blog now, too, from Mike. And just a lot of years, Pepper Johnson was with Bill Belichick as a player and a coach. And just sounds like he's looking forward to doing something else, something different. Not sure exactly what's going to go on.
Emphasized how he has big goals and dreams.
Right.
I think we've all assumed he's been disappointed that he's not a defensive coordinator. And who knows, maybe has head coaching aspirations. And if there's a sort of a wall in place here, he's got to go elsewhere. I also think he had a really good relationship with Romeo. Maybe there's a chance he goes and works with Romeo
down in Houston.
Houston. Right. I think George Godsey is probably going to go there. You know, Bill yesterday kept alluding to, he almost wanted to say George Godsey's going to Houston. Like, there were all these tie-ins to Houston.
Yeah, right, Brian. Right.
So there's definitely going to be some changes.
Well, maybe he was thinking Pepper when he was thinking
Maybe. But, you know, I think the Godsey one might happen too, and there's going to be some.
There probably
tweakings.
Might be some others. There always is. You know, I was thinking that, you know,
guys from our scouting staff could end up going places, especially down to Houston. Houston got rid of their pro player personnel guy on Saturday or Friday, and you know, maybe they have sights on somebody from our, you know, to be that. So who knows?
Yeah, it's a possibility.
You know,
there's a lot of organizations that have been turned over there, and some that are still being turned over as we speak.
You know, whenever
I mean, Miami still doesn't have a GM, right?
Miami doesn't. Tampa. Cleveland doesn't have anything.
Whenever these coaches take a job, there's a ripple effect through the league of all the people that they've worked with throughout their years, and they go with people they know,
right?
You know, and trust.
And it's going longer and longer.
Yeah,
it seems like this year. You know, there was a report that you know, they're following what's his name, Miami's Stephen Ross's plane. And they're not done yet, and yet the plane is going to Alaska, so they assume he's on, like, vacation or something else.
Right, and then I heard he's going to China.
Right.
So,
well, when are you
going
to fit me?
There's a lot of people, you know, waiting for some decisions to be made in Miami.
It's interesting.
All right, web radio.
Wait, I got one more thing I want to talk about that I have my doubts about.
No more extra points? Oh, go ahead.
No, that wasn't it. I know that's a percolating issue, and Bill obviously vented on that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the league's looking into doing it.
Did you see the Bart Hubbuck stuff about Aqib Talib claiming that
right after the
Aqib
game.
Aqib Talib told him to get out of my face, MF-er. And Aqib
told who to get out of
Bart Hubbuck.
Told Hubbuck,
get out of my
get
face,
out of my
MF-er.
Face.
Oh, yeah. I've told Bart that too.
Right.
Well, no, I'm only kidding.
I'm not really.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had seen other tweets where, you know, Talib says, I'll get you Monday or whatever to some people. And then you have to talk. You could be fined, breaking league violation, whatever. And then they ended up getting him to somebody.
He did
PR.
For about less than a minute as he was walking out of the locker room. He stopped, not at his locker, but as he was near the door to leave, stopped less than a minute. It was all
it
short, choppy
matter.
Answer. Yeah, no.
You avoid the fine.
Exactly.
You avoid the skipping. You avoid whatever.
Exactly. And he was very upset at the fact that he was injured and couldn't play and kind of like he did earlier. There was some time earlier this season when he was really upset about not being able to go back in a game and tried to. And
right.
Same type of deal. But I didn't see or hear the Hubbuck confrontation, which could have been earlier.
I wonder if anybody but Bart Hubbuck did. I have my doubts.
Nobody
about
else tweeted
Bart
about it.
I have my doubts about him.
And
everywhere he goes, problems follow.
Exactly. And one of the first things I thought of was, well, if Talib did say it, it probably was warranted.
Yeah,
given
guy rubs me the wrong way.
Well, he's here to cause trouble.
He rubs everybody the wrong way.
But I can see, you know, most people say, hey, Aqib, you got a minute? And he says, no, I'm not, whatever. And that's how you get the tweet of, you know, I'll get you guys on Monday. Because I saw those tweets before he actually talked. I mean, for all we know, this guy walked up and said, hey, Punani, you missed your second straight AFC title game. You're going to talk about it or you're going to sulk?
Like, yeah.
And if that's the case, then I think the player's warranted to say, get out of my face.
In fact, after he wrapped up the 1 minute thing that I was just saying, he broke out of the pack and was actually leaving. And Jackie and I were actually walking out with him. And Jackie had come in late with her camera guy and said, hey, Keeb, can we just get you? We were a little bit late. And he was very nice and polite, actually, to her and was like, yeah, you know what? He's like, I got to get on the bus, but I'll catch you tomorrow.
Right. See, my point here is, in the time he's been here, he hasn't had a single slip-up that I know of.
Right.
Where he's become the a-hole or the guy he was cast as. And I just find it weird that the guy that I think is a bit of a muckraker, pot stirrer, is the only one who elicited a get-out-of-my-face effort.
On the plane, I first heard about it on the plane because Bob Sosi said to me, he was sitting in the aisle next to me, leaned over and said, Eric, did you hear about this Talib stuff? He said he MF'd a reporter. And I was like, oh, really? Who? He's like, I don't know, some guy from the New York Post. And my first thought was, it's got to be Hubbuck. And then he went and searched his tweets, and it was him. So I'm like,
and he also, when he tweeted it, CC NFL League Office or something. Like, I think he's just a bad guy, that guy. Yeah. I think he's trouble.
Yeah. Go cover your
Never have team. Spoken with him, by the way, in the time that he's been here. I don't have any personal, like, one-on-one reason to dislike him. He rubs me the wrong way, and I've
heard enough
trouble.
I heard enough people have run-ins with him. So
tell you this, I know it's only been a year and a half for us with Talib, but I absolutely take Talib's side. I've seen nothing to indicate that he would do that to anybody.
Yeah. All right. Lots of people want to get their take on the game and everything else that we've been talking about. So let's get right to it. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's go to JD in Maryland. Hey, JD. JD.
Oh, you're talking to me? Eddie? You mean Eddie in Maryland?
Well, it says JD, but hey, Eddie.
That's my fault.
It's me, guys. Hey, Art, we got to start the fighting, guys. I love you, but come on. 5 years in a row, you know, same theme. And what's disturbing to me now is that I think that this offseason, everything that's happened, is masking the problem that's going on. And at the end of the day, Bill Belichick is the dictator, like I always call you guys to talk about. He controls everything, and for whatever reason, he just does not understand that the NFL speed, aggression, that's what the NFL's about nowadays, dude. So this pass rush, it's been a problem for I don't know how many years. This game wasn't the problem. I mean, you can't get mad at this game. You know, they went in there with as many bullets, you know, they had a revolver against an AK-47. So you're not going to win that matchup, you know? But it's how the team is built year in, year out. You know, the Seahawks a couple years ago, or last year, they said, wow, we need some pass rushers. So what do? They grab about three or four pass rushers. What do we do? We don't do that. We just don't play an aggressive style defense. And I'm just so fed up that there is no hope in sight for this team. There really isn't. You know, Tom Brady is good, and he had his off day the other day, but you keep going every season with a roster that includes, you know, look at this. Edelman is your receiver. Amendola. Those two guys, you were depending on those two guys, even if it was with Gronk and Hernandez. You really expect to compete in the NFL with those two guys as your receivers? Come on now.
Well, they kind of did.
Yeah, I kind of think they would have.
They did, and they would have.
I thought they looked really good when Gronkowski was on the field.
They were scoring 30 points in the middle of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, if Gronkowski was healthy.
And it masks some things when you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, and
that's
you play in the AFC East and all these other things. But when it gets to it, five years in a row, the proof is in the pudding.
So Edelman also produced. Like
I know, but
100 catches, 1,000 yards.
3 years in a row, they got to the AFC Championship. And so, I mean.
And as your third option, Edelman, not bad. 100 catches or what? 80 he would have been.
If Gronkowski was healthy, the offense would have been fine.
Frank, it's their greatest weakness. They are as good as they are because they are the smartest team. That's why.
But you're calling them dumb if they're not putting together a good team.
No, listen.
If they're not playing the game the way it needs to be played to win, then they're not smart.
I understand what your points are, Eddie, and I do think that they need some more talent. I think they are not as talented as the teams that they generally get knocked out of the playoffs by.
But
I think you're overstating things. I mean, you know, it's the same thing for 5 years. Like Fred said, okay, so they lost in the Super Bowl, and then they went to the AFC Championship game 3 years in a row. I mean, is it as bad as you're making it sound? I don't think the issues are as big as great as you're making them sound.
I know, but like I said, their greatest strength is that they are the most resilient, the smartest team in the NFL. So which means they make the other teams have to play as smart as them, and they can't until the end when the true talent takes over in the end. And they have, you know, great defenses and the players you have, the skill position players, that takes over in the end. And we've seen that the last 5 years, but we don't have that. So until they change the philosophy, how they operate, how they pick players in the beginning, the defensive philosophy, all of that, until they change that, which they're not, because that's not Bill, I mean, we're going to expect the same thing.
What was the reason why they won three Super Bowls when they did?
Do you really, Craig, seriously, think about that. When they won those three Super Bowls, there was something that happened. I don't want to mention it because we all know what it is, but I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, come on. That's silly. You're thinking Spygate? Right? Come on.
That's silly.
They had more talent on defense,
yeah,
and I'm listening.
If you're going to counter that they had much more talent and a lot of that talent was inherited, then I think that's a fair argument. But to say
that's
that
it was
just
go.
Because of Spygate,
right.
That's
but and the pass rush thing kind of bothers me, too. That's a common thing. The pass rush sucked, and the pass rush was not good enough all year. But it's better than it's been, and you can't say they didn't target.
It did improve, no question.
It did better, yeah.
I mean, you had 48, 49 sacks, which I think is the most since, like, 85 or something ridiculous for Patriots fans. And you drafted Chandler Jones. You went up to in the first round to get him. He had a nice second season. It wasn't otherworldly, but he is trending towards he's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber pass rusher. You have Ninkovich, who had another year with 8 sacks. You drafted Jamie Collins. We saw him come on. People act like he's got his blinders on and, you know, we are not going to get pass rushers. It's not what we're
right.
I think that's the case.
Go ahead, Fred.
Now, I do think, you know, to support Eddie a little bit, they do need to get a little bit more aggressive in free agency. If you have your sights set on Emmanuel Sanders and you have your sights set on John Abraham, go get him.
Yeah.
I'm sure they left for a matter of like $1 million or $2.
That's the point that I was going to just make.
Go get these guys.
That's what I was just going to talk about is – The Eddie side of it is, you know, do you have to win every one of these negotiations? You know, and they had cap room, and, you know, Denver made some minor moves in free agency that really, you know, plugged some holes for them. And they weren't, you know, $35, $45, $55 million deals. It was Terrence Knighton. you know, who had a big game. Now, I'm not saying Terrence Knighton was the guy we saw Sunday. He didn't. If he played like that every single week, more people would know who Terrence Knighton was. He had a great game today. No, nothing. It was like 2 years, $5 million or six or seven million. I mean, it was a small contract. John Abraham is a guy that they could have had for not a lot of money, but it didn't look like we wanted to give him quite as much money as someone else did. And, you know, instead of Andre Carter as your third pass rusher, John Abraham should have been your third pass, or Dwight Freeney should have been your third pass rusher.
Are we sure it was just money with him?
Am I sure? No. But
I thought there were reports that, you know, they basically told him he was going to be a situational guy and he wanted a bigger role and he was going to keep looking until he found that. I don't know.
To me, you find a way to make that happen. Instead of Jonathan Finene, you know, get a guy who could come in and make an impact.
See, I'd actually put Finene in the pro Bill camp. He has targeted an interior rusher to help the pass rush for years now. Red Bryant, Jonathan Finene, was a bust, a medical bust. Yeah. They went after Tom and Kelly. He got hurt. He was projected to help in that area. I don't see the blinders on that some of these fans feel like they have toward the pass rush.
I just think, you know,
Think they're improving. And I agree with the way Andy said it. Their pass rush was a lot better. Their pass rush was a lot better this year than it has been.
But the problem has been the people, not necessarily the focus. I would rather have had Robert Quinn than Chandler Jones. You'd be further along in the curve, and, oh, by the way, he's become dominant. And I might have rather had John Abraham than Tommy Kelly, but I don't feel like they haven't tried to angle towards, we realize we have to have a better pass rush. Right. It's just coming slower than some people would like.
Chris with a T-I-A-N is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
How you doing?
No, I've been better, but I've been worse. So, yeah. You know, it's... Listen, they ran into a buzzsaw, and this is where, you know, the cream rises to the top, and they just lost to the better team. They really did.
Yep.
And, you know, you talk about the injuries all year and how they made it through. My God, I mean, look at a game where you would see the value of a Rob Gronkowski in the past game, and you look no further than this game.
Yeah.
I mean, Shane Vereen, invisible. Danny Amendola, invisible. Tight end position, invisible. No offense. First run of play of the game with Garrett Blunt to the right side. 0 yards. See ya. Running game. Oh, done. Over.
So you think they gave up too easily on the running game?
I think they had to.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to do it. You guys said it was the top. They weren't going to be able to do it. Paul or Andy said, this isn't Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know? So they couldn't do it. But, he disappointed in Brady, man. I'm real disappointed in him and the throws that he missed. I know he had to be perfect, and I know we set the bar high for him, but, man, you know, he had some throws there.
Yeah.
The Matthew Slater thing, though, the last two hairs that I do have in my head, the Matthew Slater play did have me pulling them out.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Karen Dobson, that's why we got him.
Yeah.
It's for that point.
Yeah, but he was
you mean the two-point conversion?
No,
the deep ball. The deep ball.
Yeah. I do think Aaron Dobson was clearly at a less than 100% level. I thought that other deep ball, where I think Brady just threw it away, but Dobson didn't. To me, he looked like he was still limping, and he didn't have any separation power.
Yeah,
he couldn't get separation.
They were outmanned, as the PFW cover says, outmanned.
Yep. No, it's a great cover, and it's 100%. And they were just, they were outmanned. And like I said, though, I give Brady and Belichick so much praise for when they win. I got to put the blame on both of them in a game like this, too. I mean, they were outmanned, but plays were there. The defense is absolutely horrific. Okay, I know you went up against the greatest offense in NFL history, but no sacks, no turnovers, horrific on third downs. You lost to lead, I know, but my God, does losing one guy and the whole defense just falls apart like that?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was.
But I think Fred said it too. Yeah.
They would have fallen apart before he left. Lost
it wasn't Tlaib. It was. They would have lost with Tlaib.
It was Jones and Ninkovich to me.
Yeah,
we knew they weren't going
to. You had to stop Manning because you can't stop the receivers.
And they didn't even come close. Yeah. He had enough time to bobble a shotgun snap seven times before throwing
the first third down of the day.
And didn't you think when he first started bobbling, you're like, oh, here it is?
Well, seriously, if that goes the Patriots' way and the Edelman throw goes the Patriots' way.
Yeah,
totally different ball game.
Freddie, my whole basis for picking the Patriots was that.
Was that?
And I see that on the first drive of the game, and I'm like, I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And then not only he gains control of the ball, but
he completes the pass.
He completes the pass. Yeah. And right. Goes a strike.
completed the pass. He made a cup of coffee, had a croissant, and completed the pass.
You're right.
Did my mother?
He got online for the legal way.
I don't know. She downloaded the app. I got to be careful.
I did your mother.
Christian, we might have to call a truce in this. My mother actually downloaded the app to her iPad, and she might start listening.
Did she really?
Yes.
I won't then.
Because she listened to the pregame social and told me she thought it was dirty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she hadn't heard anything yet.
I was thinking, we don't even do anything on that show.
Well, you do.
I'll be good.
I said ass.
All right, Christian.
Inappropriate. All right.
All right, hang in there. Let's go to Ireland. Sean's on the line. Hey, Sean.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Nothing else is going to happen when Bill and Brady leave, because I can't see the Patriots fans surviving after that with the abuse they're throwing after this game.
Well, A, I don't know what you just said, but B, the Patriots fans, I think one thing is they have high expectations because of Belichick and Brady. I think fans will be more understanding in the post-Belichick-Brady era because they won't have the high hopes, the high expectations. Right now, they expect Super Bowl or bust.
Right.
And that leads to the disappointment and the annoyance and the anger and whatever you feel afterwards. When it's whoever's, you know, Mallett and McDaniels, people are going to be like, huh. I don't think this is going to go well. And if you win, okay, it's great. When you lose, I expected you to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Montana, the main team was the best quarterback, and he only won 4 rings. And that was without the salary cap. It's not that easy to win, it's like.
It's not easy to win. No, it isn't.
It's very difficult. That's why this consistency they've had for 13 freaking years is re-goddamn-diculous.
Exactly, yes. But two questions for you. Edelman or your man from Pittsburgh, who would you sign?
Sanders?
Freddie, you got to go Sanders. That's your guy. It's your boy. Holla at your boy.
I can only have one of them?
Yes. That's the rule.
I'll stick with Edelman.
I'll stick with Edelman, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take Sanders.
He returns punts, and
so does Sanders.
And the second one is, I don't know what you think Chris
doesn't he just do kicks?
And Gonzalez.
I don't know. He's a returner.
Yeah. I don't think Tony Gonzalez is.
No, he's done. He's retired.
Yeah. I'd love to see him because I do think on this team, he'd become immediately the best tight end and probably would catch 65 balls.
Yeah, he'd catch a bunch of passes.
But he seems pretty resigned to the fact that he's done.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, and would you just load up on defense then in the draft?
No.
Best players available.
I need a tight end.
Offense,
I need a real receiver.
Yeah, I don't care.
I might need a cornerback.
I mean, we'll never know, but I want to see their draft board. I want to know who they have highest value. Just take that guy if he's available.
What if you don't agree with it?
What do you mean if I don't agree with it?
The assessment.
No, I'm just saying.
Whether
or not I agree with it doesn't matter.
Oh.
But if they're not taking the guy that they think is the best player available, they're making a mistake this year.
I'd actually lean more towards offense than defense, I think. The way I look at it, you could sell me on, you need a guard so I can move Conley to center or do something in there. I think that needs to be better on the inside.
So they don't want to do that high.
And I think you need a tight end, and I think you need a receiver. I think you need all three of those at a high level.
Sure.
Whereas defensively, I look at it, and if you can re-sign Tlaib. I've invested in the secondary. At some point, some of these have to work. The Daron Harmons.
No, I know.
Well, I'm being dead.
Logan Ryan. One of these guys is going to be good in year two.
I mean, how long are we just going to keep drafting in the second and third round a corner and a safety every year, or a safety and a corner every year? At some point, don't they have to play?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Let's go to.
I think they need some line help on both sides. Tight end, obviously, because you can't rely. You don't know what you're going to have with Gronk. But
and even with Gronk, you have one, really.
Because I think of all of the
good one, though.
I think of all the different things, all the different positions that we talk about, and I'm like, yeah, we need that, but I don't want to use that with my first-round pick. We need that, but I don't want to waste a first-round pick on that. I don't know. I mean, I kind of look at it the way Fred looks at it. They have been in the conference championship 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have these
gaping
holes to fill. I mean, I think you can sort of fill
it. I think they have a gaping hole at offensive playmaker, a guy who can catch the ball.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not sold that Dobson or Tompkins or Amendola, when healthy, are the guy.
But wouldn't you be better off going after an established guy for that position?
You know what established guys take? Money.
Well, I'm just
You know what we don't give to established guys? Money.
No, but regardless of the
I know he can get a star in the draft because he has to take somebody and he can pick a guy that might be a star.
You brought in three, Tompkins was undrafted, but you brought in two guys in the draft at that position.
In the second and fourth round, you didn't bring in an elite guy.
But
elite guys go where elite guys go.
We're not
going to
pick where
round.
The elite guys go. Okay, we don't have that.
We're going to be picking at 29.
A lot of people think Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be an elite playmaker in this league and has already shown the ability to make plays with the ball in his hand no matter how you get it there.
You know, so the
guess where he went. Tell him where he went.
Chances are we're not, you
29.
Know.
29. Guess where the Patriots pick? 29. Yeah. Sounds like a playmaker, smells like a playmaker, he's a playmaker.
I wouldn't be opposed to taking a wide receiver at the end of the first round. Yeah. I think you can get a playmaker there.
We're sold that Amendola and Dobson and Tompkins and Boyce, that's good enough?
No, I'm saying.
Guess what?
I'm saying you
Some
go after
a guy. Some of those
guys
are not going to be on the team next
year. I'm saying you go after somebody in free agency to supplement that.
Okay, so we're going to get some Jag free agent.
Not Jag. Why does it have to be a Jag?
Because the guys with talent make money, and we don't go and give $50 million contracts.
That's why I started this out by saying this year they need to get more aggressive in free agent. When you target somebody, pay
him. It's not happening.
Well, it might
be. The guys in free agent.
Listen, we never thought that yesterday would happen at that press conference, and it happened. Maybe there's some changes going on.
I also wrote this in my post-game analysis.
That wasn't for the better.
That the last time they had a team this depleted with Brady and made it this far was 06. And that offseason they decided, yeah, you know what? Window starting to close. We need to do something.
Didn't, but really, you know, they signed a bunch of Kmart. No, I won't say Kmart. They signed a bunch of Kohl's.
They made
moves.
60%.
But that's kind of a
myth,
Eric.
Jags.
See, they did target Welker, but Moss fell in their lap. They didn't go in the offseason thinking we're going to go get Randy Moss. That was like the night before the draft. Oakland was willing to give up a fourth round. You know,
wait a minute. I thought earlier in that offseason there was a rumor that the Patriots were interested in Moss, and then it died down, and then all of a sudden
I started that rumor in SGA.
I don't think that's accurate.
I kind of knew Bill liked Moss and might consider bringing him in. I didn't really know for sure he would do it.
See, I thought there was talk
of those two things, though. Eric is right. They were much more aggressive. They went out and got Dante Stallworth, Kyle Brady, Kelly Washington, as well as Welker. Welker was the top one that they targeted, but they clearly went out and got playmakers, and they figured that. And then on the other side of the ball, they went out and spent as much money on a free agent as they have with Dalis Thomas.
Which didn't work out, but at least they went after them.
That was a legit one.
See, to me, Thomas and Welker are legit. They went out and targeted guys to fill. I agree with Fred. Moss fell in their lap. That was not part of the grand scheme of the offseason.
Moss made all of
it. No, I know we made
Moss
it.
Moss was factor number one, and all the rest of it working.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like,
but I agree.
Like
with
if
Fred,
we signed Emmanuel
Sanders,
okay, so we added Emmanuel Sanders.
You don't think he would have helped this year?
I do. I think he would help.
You don't think Sean Abraham would have helped this year?
I do. But my point is, if we get Emmanuel Sanders and then Larry Fitzgerald, we'll have the best offense in football. If we get Emmanuel Sanders and he's with Danny Amendola, it was an okay addition.
Okay.
Emmanuel Sanders, in my opinion, is not a game changing, offense changing,
but he's
playmaker. He's better than what they have. There is no doubt about that. But to get the game-changing, offense-changing playmaker, you generally have to spend Vincent Jackson, Mike Wallace-type money because there's so few of those guys out there that they get overpaid.
That's true. That's true. Harley's in North Carolina. Hey, Harley.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Do they call you the hog?
No, they just call me Harley.
They don't call you a personality either.
No, I just want to call in and say you know, I kind of stumbled upon y'all's show. I downloaded a Patriots app on my iPhone, and I've been listening all year, and it's really changed, you know, the way I go through the season. I feel like I'm a lot more intact with the team, and I really enjoy listening to y'all.
Well, thank you. That's why we do it. We try to bring people globally together under one Patriot nation.
But I listen to y'all religiously. I listen to Playbook, too. But I just want to comment about the game, y'all. You know, I was disappointed, but I really feel like the year kind of ended. We lost to the Dolphins this year. You know, I was like, we had a chance to take home field advantage, and we kind of gave it up. And after that, I just kind of felt like I never seen us going into Denver and winning. Now, I know we had a chance, but since the Miami game, I just kind of felt like we kind of gave it up there, which dropped the ball.
Well, you were right, because I would have considered picking the Patriots had that game been at Gillette Stadium on Sunday. I think the weather was as big a deal in that game as anything else.
Yep.
And it's much like 06 when it was the same thing. You lost an important game during the regular season, which meant you went on the road. You were undermanned, and it was a bad environment for you on the road. It was fine for Manning. He beat you. He goes on. You go home, and you start lamenting what could have been.
Yeah, and the
thanks, Harley.
And it's interesting that the Miami game, because I also think that factor in that Denver had just lost that game to open the door on the Thursday,
right.
And on the Sunday you gave it right back.
That was loser weekend.
Yeah.
We're all
on
top
that
three
Sunday,
teams.
You gave it
oh,
right
I don't
back.
Want it. You take it. No, I don't want it. He takes it.
Yeah, and then the Colts lost that week, too, so that meant that
right.
They couldn't catch you because the Colts, if the Colts had beaten Cincinnati, they would have been they would have been the home team for that game in divisional weekend. So it could have changed everything that way, too.
All right. Food's here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the phones are still lighting up. We got a special guest on the phone that we'll get to right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me too.
Which you couldn't call
so
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw, you know. And I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
so
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean
he
was okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right. Too bad the Patriots didn't sock somebody in the stomach and double them over on Sunday.
My favorite part of that is the names.
Yeah.
Like, I will never forget Ronald Robinson.
Who's the pussy now?
Just because of that.
Oh, I remember. Michael Massidi's the one that hit me while I was in the air.
Michael
Massidi.
He had a lot of...
MMs.
A lot of alliteration.
Yeah.
But
he...
Cape Cod.
Well, Catholic school in New Jersey.
That's had a lot
you're
of,
either
well,
Irish or Italian.
Had a lot of Ginzos,
oh, okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Nice. I like it.
Ginzos? I still have the bump on my head from where my head hit the parking lot.
I'm a Ginzo.
Your head hit the parking
I was
lot?
Ginzo.
Oh, I was up in the air catching a ball, and he hit me in the air, and my whole head just split open.
Now, was it before, or was the ball 10 feet away from your hands?
Oh, no.
Was there a flash?
I think I maintained control.
Did you bring it all the way to
I
the ground?
I think I did.
Speaking of my ridiculous rants against the officials, if you allow me 30 seconds, the play that Navarro Bowman
no way you get
blew up his
30
knee.
Seconds.
30 seconds. That fumble recovery, the fact that that's not reviewable, just
asinine.
Ridiculous.
You know what I also thought was ridiculous? They were getting a lot of flack for showing the replays. And people were like, oh, enough, he's hurt. No. Like, I don't really understand why you can't show replays of guys if they get hurt.
Well,
if he dies, okay, I understand. We don't want to watch somebody die
yeah,
on TV.
Right. Particularly gruesome ones,
but
though.
It was a knee injury. I'm sorry. Yes. If the play was relevant, the actual play, I have
that's
to show
key
it.
To me. Right.
I
an can't, important play.
Do you want me to blur out his knee
right,
so
right.
I can show
no,
the
that's
fumble?
Fine. Yeah.
Plus, the knee was somewhat relevant because when it bent in the weird way, it was almost what was going to touch first, even though it bent sideways instead of the right way. Mm. I don't understand. You what? It's again. It's this whole thing where people want the violence, but there's a certain line on the. I don't want to go that violent. I want to see you knock his head off, but then I want him to get up and don't show me too many replays if he doesn't get up. Either you like the violence of the game or you don't.
All right. 508-298-0398.
No chin there, Paul.
There was a little bit.
There was a little chin.
Cower.
Guys, look who's on the phone. It's Mark Bertrand, who claims he's in West Palm Beach. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Fred. How's it going?
That's not Mark.
This isn't Mark Bertrand.
It is. I lived up there for 35 years. I spelled my first name with a C, too.
Oh,
wow.
So it's
okay.
a different,
it's a
Mark,
different
Bertrand.
Mark Bertrand.
It's
Mark. My wife was texting this Mark Bertrand, and I grabbed her phone. I'm like, what the hell is this? And she's texting him. I'm like, this isn't me. And then I finally find out the guy's got my same name. That's how she is. Married an Irish girl.
Just as long as you don't find out he has your wife.
Oh,
yeah,
take my wife,
right.
Please.
Or has had his wife.
Right. So what do you got, Mark Bertrand?
I don't know. The pick of the wide receiver is tough. I just think that Tommy plays hurt all the time. He doesn't tell anybody, and it's seriously hurting the team. His accuracy.
Well, that story before the game, they were talking about that he, in fact, according to, I guess, Breer was the one who reported it, that he had
weird
hurt ligaments in his hand that he played through, but definitely did affect him.
And we all knew
in the season.
We knew he was hurt.
Well, we knew there was something.
Flexing and the hand in the pouch and the out of the pouch and the this. Yeah. We knew there was something. Now
Absolutely.
We know it's ligaments. But do you not want him to play through injury? Is that the implication here?
Every other player.
Unfortunate. You know, I love his competitiveness. He's fantastic. But it's killing him himself, too. He knows how he can play. He's missing these throws, and he looks like he wants to die over there.
Yeah, but that sounds like an excuse to me.
Yeah. I mean, what's the alternative?
I mean, we don't know every injury of every player. They all play.
Yeah,
I mean, some of them tell us. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, the late, great Steve McNair, they told us every time their fly was down. But with Roethlisberger, that's often.
My guy, Stan Humphries.
These guys, they play through it. I bet Manning has issues that he gets cleaned up every offseason.
Well, he had a serious ankle injury this year. That was for all to see.
That's right.
I mean, we want I think if Brady's out there, you have to expect he's going to make the throws.
And a Brady at 70-80% is still
better
pretty
than
damn
most.
Good.
Yeah.
So
he missed throws. His deep balls.
The rest of the league, but when you get down in the playoffs deep.
Yeah, but you have no choice.
Well, that's
you
want to
play Mallett? They wouldn't even let Mallett hold for a PAT, never mind run the offense.
That's why I'm more disappointed at the offensive line, and I'm more disappointed at, you know, he's throwing to Austin Colley instead of Emmanuel Sanders, you know.
And Denver's offensive line coach should go to the Hall of Fame right now. He stops the defensive genius from even putting a finger on Manning.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're double-covering guys all over the field. Coverage over the top. He is dissecting everybody right out of the gate. I mean, he's throwing them. I've never seen him play like that.
Manning?
My point is single cover those guys. Send the rest in as a blitz because you're getting smoked anyway.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference, and I've heard that a lot, but I think there's a difference between blitzing and then when they complete a pass as a touchdown and putting more guys in coverage, they complete, you minimize the gain.
And you weren't really
And that's
getting
what would happen
smoked.
If you blitzed. Manning would smoke you. I think the fact that they didn't blitz a lot and played dime nickel the whole game is respect to Manning. They didn't do that with Luck.
You were getting killed up and down the field, but you weren't getting smoked. You weren't giving up massive plays.
Right.
And I think you would have started giving up massive plays.
I agree.
You felt like you were hanging. You felt like you were hanging.
Right.
I don't think you were hanging personally. I think this was like the 2004 Patriots offensive version. The game was over. He was going to get any yards, points, and whatever he needed on this day to win that football game. He was very good. Brady called him flawless.
But if you're close, Andy, maybe the mental stuff starts to creep in.
Right, and that's why felt like they probably had a chance, that they were staying in the game without giving up big plays.
Right.
And,
even if they got the last, two-point conversion and they make it eight, they might not have to onside kick. I think they probably still would have.
Yeah, I wouldn't
But they wouldn't have had to. They would have had three timeouts in the 2 minute
I
one with 3:07 left.
Too. Kick it to Trinidad and hope for a fumble.
Yeah.
To me, that would have been a better play than trying to get an onside
kick. And save it. Put this in the back of your off-season show list. Paul and I want to have arguments about being down 16 and whether that's like being down two scores or four scores.
Andy says that's four scores.
I consider that essentially four scores.
It's more than two.
Well, that's
because.
But save it. No. Not today. Not today.
No, because if you look at the percentage of 2 point made, if it's about 50%, so it's more like 2.5 or 3.
Save it
rather than four.
No, I understand that it's harder to get a 2 point conversion than kicking an extra point, but you only need two possessions to get 16 points, not three or four.
No, I understand, but you still need to
score. It's harder. Obviously, it's harder.
Time wise, you're right. It's really only it's two scores time wise, but possession wise, but in terms of effort, it's pretty hard to score from the 2 yard line, you know, with just one play to do it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying anything because I wanted to table this for the offseason.
Yeah, I didn't say it was easy to get a 2 point conversion. I'm just saying 16 is two scores. You can get that in two possessions.
Two possessions, yes.
You can't get 17 on two possessions.
That's true.
Which is why I would have kicked the field goal in the third quarter.
And if Bill Belichick has his way, you won't be able to do it in two possessions either if they get rid of that extra point.
No, you will be able to do it.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't heard any.
Right, you're going to have to go for two, right?
I guess on every play, I guess.
I haven't heard any proposals that I like, by the way.
What are the proposals? This, again, sounds like an off-season topic, but.
You know, they're making the extra point automatic, or but you can still go for two.
Well, like, then just make a touchdown 7 points.
That's what they're doing. That's the proposal.
But why
touchdown is 7 points.
Well, now it's really football math, Paul. Seven beats three every time.
Or if you go for two, you can do it. But no one will go for two any more often because
Do you get nine if you go for two?
No, you would get eight, right?
You'd get eight.
So you're going for one.
So if you miss it, you're gambling, so you're either getting six.
I'm just saying,
you're right, Andy.
You're going for one.
We haven't made the rule change yet, but yeah.
No, Andy's
right. So you're choosing.
As I said, technically you're right.
But you're also choosing to add a play. Like, you automatically get seven. So if you get seven and don't want to go for the one, you just go kick off?
Yeah.
Why would you not go for the one every time?
Right.
That's what my point is. It'd be just like it is now, only you're
eliminating the extra point. There's no decision to be made. Right. Oh, okay.
But you're also, if you fail on the two, you're getting six, not seven.
Oh, if you fail on the...
Right?
Oh, yeah. You would only get six if you fail.
So I get a free one or a work for it,
or
two.
Or a work for it, two.
I get a gamble one to get two. I'm late. Oh, the odds. It's a Jeff in Vegas proposition.
That's
not
bad.
I got to lay the one to get the two.
That's not bad, actually. That puts
I don't like change.
I don't think it puts any more into it, because I think every team that now never goes for two unless you have to go for two will continue to not go for two.
Right.
It's automatic now. They just have to kick it.
All
they're doing is eliminating
it. Could speed up the game a little bit.
That's what and they don't want that commercial.
Yeah, but are you going to?
They
still have to
break,
get all those commercials in.
Now they're saying they go to that commercial break right after the touchdown. That gives them chance to look at the scoring play. You know, if it needs to be reviewed, and you eliminate that.
And they might come make that break a little bit longer, another 30 seconds or so.
But
I don't like changing the game.
I don't like it either.
That feels like you're changing the core of the game.
I mean, I understand the extra point was not designed. When Bill said that about a month ago, when they instituted the extra point, it wasn't supposed to be a 99.999% play. Mm. I get that. But what hasn't that happened in all sports?
Right.
Like, there's examples that you could give in all sports that... You know,
college basketball, the three-pointer wasn't supposed to be the heart of the game.
Right. A breakaway in hockey was supposed to be a really good chance to score, not like a 75% chance for the goalie to stop it, which is basically turned out to be.
Right.
Because the goaltender and equipment and everything, they're so good.
Yeah.
I mean.
Telling you, moving goalposts, that's the wave of the future. The pipes go in and out. If you want a real extra point, they come in and they're only like 3 yards apart, like Arena League.
Andy's right about three-pointers in basketball was supposed to be this. Well, if you were down three, you could still, but you would never
Now
shoot
it's how
it.
Teams play.
It wouldn't take such a risky shot from so far away from the basket, but now teams take 25, 30 a game. Right.
What if they made new goalposts where there were four uprights? So you had the middle one would be like,
imagine how they would screw that up?
So that on an extra point.
Oh, the little, just put it permanently?
Just put it permanently.
It would be cheaper than the moving ones, right?
Yeah.
Because the hydraulics, and then it would break, and you'd have to have a guy come out, like a hydraulics expert.
You'd have to have the guy that comes out with the rope and just tries
to look at it and goes, that looks good to me.
Put a thumb up in the air. Yeah, it looks good.
Which is different from where his thumb usually is.
All right. Let's go to Ann Stone, the president of the Pikes Peak Pats fan club. Put on a great show Saturday night. Thanks, Ann, for putting on that party. That was awesome.
Wicked good.
Oh, I know. It was just a fabulously fun time. It really was.
Rave reviews all around, Ann.
If the game was half as good as your party, the Patriots would have won.
I know. I just wanted to call to say I'm a fan for life anyway, but we still have – I mean, I haven't listened to the whole show because I've been at a little volunteer job I do, and we have a lot to be proud of. I mean, look at how we started the season – losing Welka, we have a pile of rookies, horrendous ref calls. I mean, if those ref calls hadn't been, who knows, we might have had home field advantage.
You're absolutely right.
Total difference.
They owe you one, Fred.
Yep.
So we have a lot to be proud of. Disappointing, it is for everybody, but, you know, I'm still there 100%, as almost every fan I've talked to, 100% behind the guys.
And you didn't lose any bets or anything. You're not, like, wearing a Manning jersey today or anything, are you?
I wouldn't have a bet like that, ever.
I have a question for you, though, Ann. I had a friend of mine that went to the game as a fan, was wearing Patriots garb, and she and her friend were getting harassed verbally and at some points physically, too, by a lot of Broncos fans
really?
There. Did you guys Do you guys ever experience that at Mile High?
Yes, I have myself.
You have?
But you know, I've had people throw popcorn, and I had guys throw a piece of a hot dog once. But you know what? It's always that small minority of people who are just jackasses,
you know?
And it really, like, I mean, anyone can go to, you know, to Gillette, and you just need one idiot Patriot fan to do that.
That's true.
And we don't want them to wash us all with the same paintbrush, because 99% of us are good fans.
Yeah. Everybody that I talked to said how nice the people out there were over the weekend.
Yeah.
I heard an interesting story on the radio that indicated that. And Patriots fans actually calling in saying how they were leaving with a couple of minutes left after the Jacob Tammy pass that was it. The Patriots fans were congratulating a lot of the Denver fans. I heard a Denver guy call in and say, applauding the Patriots fans. It was like these two guys that walked all the way up their section, and they were like high-fiving and said, you know, you guys killed us. You deserved it. You know, go and win the Super Bowl. Congratulations. Yeah. Patriots fans were doing that for the Denver people.
Yeah.
Well, I think really we're rabid in New England, but I think we have class. I just do.
I don't think the Colts fans would agree with you from last week based on some of the emails I read, but but I agree with the way you. How did you so eloquently put it? There's an element of jackasses. That's being a jackass.
Yeah. But and thanks a lot. That was a tremendous event that you put on Saturday night, and everyone had a great time. Just really well run. A lot of good raffle prizes, so it was excellent.
Well, that's being a jackass.
But I wanted to call out and say, you know, anything starts from the top and trickles down, and it starts with Mr. Kraft, who is just the epitome of class. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. You know, there is no other owner like Bob Kraft. There just isn't. I mean, I'm in a place where everybody has a different team because no one's from Colorado. And people constantly say to me, how do you get your owner to come? How do you get your team to donate, you know, prizes? How do you do that? And it's like, because I have a great owner and a great organization. And I feel very, very blessed. Whoa. Fred, I want to thank you for the wonderful prizes. I mean,
well, again, that comes from the team, so you know, yeah. I might have brought them.
Fred's being modest. Yeah. Fred has a big part in that. I'm being serious. Yeah. You have a big part in that.
I know, but we couldn't have done what we did if it wasn't for people like Fred and Stacey James, who so generously gave. We raised $3,000 for Homefront Care.
That's great, and that helps a lot of the vets, right?
Oh, and it's for deployed families. Yep. You know, when the dad or the mama's away and things come up, they help out and stuff. And it's a great, wonderful organization. And if it wasn't for you guys, we would have never raised money like that. I had more people just say, oh, my God, I cannot believe how generous it is. And Bob Kraft for being such a great sport when I pulled those little tiny crazy things.
She had a hat. She goes, Robert, would you wear this hat for a second? So he puts this funny looking hat on. Then Ann takes it off and goes, okay, here's a hat that Robert Kraft wore, and we're going to be raffling it off. It was great.
Good for you, Ann.
Yeah. And he was just a great sport because I asked him beforehand. I said, you know, I just want to do this little thing. And he was like, whatever you want. I mean, he is just, if you look up the word gentleman in the book, you know, you're going to see a picture of Rob Kraft because he's just got it all. So I just wanted to say again, thank you so much. I wanted to give a shout out to Barry Insiong from Patriots Tailgate Nation. He's a source of, you know, advice and press and all that. And together as a whole family, I mean, that's what we are. It's just a whole big family helping each other out. And we're going to have another great season coming up.
Yep. Okay, Ann. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Ann.
Let's go to Kyle in California. Hey, Kyle.
Kyle.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, it's Tayo.
It's who?
Tayo, T-A-Y-O.
Tayo.
Yeah.
Okay, I had Kyle, but Tayo.
It's not Kevin's fault. I'm not bringing. Is that a typo?
Guys,
like Neo?
Manti Te'o.
Te'o Cruz.
Te'o Cruz, yeah.
Who's Te'o Cruz?
Singer.
Yeah, I've got
Music
two
Man.
Points.
I keep talking over him.
There was only one person to blame for his loss, and it's Fred. Last Tuesday on PFW,
I knew that was coming.
I think Fred was kind of shook about the game.
Yeah.
And he tried to make up for it on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I did.
He couldn't. It was gone. He'd lost it at that point.
He wasn't emotionally prepared to lose.
He was lying. He was talking BS later in the week.
Confident.
The true, honest Fred was last Tuesday, and he was questioning his lot in life.
Yes. Fred, I don't blame you for any of it.
Yes. And
I'll take the blame.
And also, I think the worst part of the game, obviously, we lost, but like right at the end of the game, I don't know if they ran it or they kneeled it, but they just show Archie Manning and
Eli and
yeah,
Cooper.
Yeah, Eli Manning, and it just made me realize that we've lost our last four playoff games against the Manning brothers, and it sucks, man. But
Well, Baltimore,
Joe Flacco last year.
You guys.
Yeah. All right, Kyle. Thanks. Thanks.
Three, right?
Yeah, we hate the Mannings.
If you include Flacco, it's the Flaccos and the Mannings.
Six of the last seven, because there was a Sanchez in there too.
Mm-hmm. Dirty Sanchez.
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Uh-oh, it's Rizzo.
Fred, you didn't tell us anything come out of Peyton's head.
No, nothing.
He got a little
showed
excited.
Some spunk.
Oh!
It wasn't urine. It was something else.
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I want to give a shout out to Ann. Sound like a real good time over there. You know, she brings up a good point. For you know, Fan Nation, we got to realize we got a fantastic ownership group, and you know, for me, you know, in the heels of this game. You know, I'm obviously coming to terms with the fact that, we've got maybe one or two seasons left of some playoff magic, and then, you know, it's back to the drawing board. And I think Ann brings a nice reminder to the table that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, we've got fantastic leadership of that front office there, you know, starting from the top. And that was nice to hear because, you know, honestly, the last few days I've been dead inside. You know, I know what a hooker feels like. I mean, absolutely dead inside right now. And, you know, just, you know, as we kind of make the turn, I have all these questions floating around like everybody else, but I haven't heard much of the show. I just got to ask, guys, what happened to the pass rush? Why are we so dead, and why are we getting beat on the line on both sides of the ball so bad? I mean, it was no-brainer that LeGarrette Blount was going to be a non-factor, just seeing that line just getting blown up at the spot there. Do you guys have any insights as why you know, I called out that Chandler Jones would have a flash game here, and we might see a couple sacks from him. In your estimation, just to sum it up in a nutshell, why the hell did we have no push on that defensive line?
I'm at a loss. I look, check back to the blog. I said before the game, this game will be won in the trenches. And we lost on both sides. We lost the offensive line, and we lost on our defensive line. And you can't win if you can't control the line of scrimmage.
And aside from the Colts game, Chandler Jones had been trending in the wrong direction for about the last 6 weeks of the year. He had one sack over like the last 6 weeks.
I thought he was due, you know. I mean, look, guys, I just thought this was time for him to shine and show us what he's been, you know, kind of made of there.
Yep.
I think at the end of the day, look, I put so much stock in the fact that this team is tough. They've been in every game, and we saw absolutely no semblance of that whatsoever in this last game. We got our asses kicked. You know, I felt like, look, our team's tough. They got the balls, but we weren't able to play on that kind of a front. You know, it is what it is. Look, guys, it has been a magical season. You know, from a net worth this whole season, it's been 16 weeks of an absolute blast from being a fan to being fired up to really supporting this team. So, look, at the end of the day, it's a different feeling than we've had in years past. I mean, there's definitely some silver linings here. But, you know, I got a firm eye on this draft. And if we don't hit free agency hard, you know, I'm going to start losing sight of this fact. You know, we're really going to start looking at this next season as being our last gasp. You know, this is last chance saloon, in my opinion.
Well,
time to go all in and reload.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
I really think, thanks, Chester, I really think for Brady, two more years.
Well, he's signed through 2017.
No, I know, but in terms of Brady being Brady, I think we got two more years. And then, you know, but a lot of one thing I disagree with is like, you know, when Brady and Belichick leave, we're going to suck, you know, according to Charles Barkley. Why? I mean, maybe we will.
Well, yeah, the likelihood is that you will.
You know, certainly there's going to be a drop off, but that doesn't, you know, I mean, when Tom Landry left, that didn't mean Dallas going to suck forever, or when, you know, a joke
kind of did.
You know, other, you know, teams get other quarterbacks and other coaches.
And some teams
and
don't.
And you're praising Robert Kraft. He's the guy that's going to be charged with at least getting the next coach. So if you have faith in him, you hope that he will get a competent coach that will keep the team competitive.
Much more likely that Robert and Jonathan are able to replace Belichick than whoever that is can replace Brady.
Right.
There
so
is a
all is not lost once they're gone.
I have faith that they can find somebody who can be a good, above average to very good head coach.
Yeah.
Now, can that person find a quarterback?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know. That's really, that's a lot tough. You know, look, and
that's a great variation on the debate.
Yeah. Now,
it's a great variation.
What's more likely
I'm
to be
sure
good
I
in the post?
I'm not sure I feel as good about it as you
see,
do.
See, I do. And that, if you do your diligence and beat the bushes, and I think you can find a coach.
I agree with that. I think that the gulf between Bill and the next coach is greater than Brady and a quarterback.
Oh, that's probably true.
I can make an argument on both sides of that really passionately.
Yeah, no, but that's not the question right now. The question is, you don't have to compete with Bill anymore. Bill's out the league, as they say.
Good point.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You only have to compete.
So now the whole thing comes down.
No, no, no.
Down.
But
the whole bar comes down.
No, but now you just need a coach that can beat John Fox, a coach that can beat
But I think you might
whoever
need a,
else.
In order
with.
To win without right, Bill, right. You might need a quarterback better than Brady.
True.
Why?
True. No,
Manning's gone, too.
Well,
but there are other
Andrew
great
Luck will be coming up. And look, it's
just because we've anointed him great doesn't mean he's going to be great.
Look, I don't want to. I don't want to say that we should take for granted the fact that we have two Hall of Fame coach and quarterback at the same time. That's very rare for any team, you know. So there's going to be a drop off when they're both gone. But like you said, you can still be competitive,
right?
Oh
you
yeah,
know?
I don't think it ensures that you can't compete.
Is John Fox and you know, is John Fox a, you know, Hall of Fame coach? Probably not. He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback,
no.
So he's in there. But, you know.
He's a solid coach. I mean.
He's a solid coach.
He's taken
coach.
Two teams to a Super
but
Bowl
a
now.
Lot
he's
of
one
solid,
of them at least six.
There's a lot of solid coaches out there.
I don't know if a lot is the right term. I just think they are available and you can get them.
That's
my
true.
Bigger
that's
issue.
Like I told you I could passionately argue. I think what you just said is right. I think there's probably fewer really great coaches than there are quarterbacks. So. I think you could go.
You don't need to get one. You need to get a good coach. And the other issue is you can get a coach. It's up to you to go get a coach.
And would you rather
you have to draft a quarterback?
And the
quarterback
are,
has to kind of come to you in the right.
I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks.
And if you are a head coach,
you got to get him. A coach. If you put the money and the recruitment in, you can get a coach.
And if you're
go hire him from college or you lure away a coordinator,
right.
You don't have to draft him. It's up. You have endless pockets.
Exactly.
To go get him.
And if you are a good coach and you know you're a good coach. Where you can choose your situation, wouldn't you rather work for Robert Kraft than half these nut job owners out there?
Yes.
You know, that aren't don't
no
have
doubt.
The stability and, you know, fly by the seat of their pants. So if you are a good coach where you can name your place, this would be, I think, one of the more desirable places.
Do you need a cleaner? You know, would you want to follow Bill Belichick here?
Yeah, that's a good
one.
Do
you need 2 years of somebody else before you say, okay, now I'll come there?
A bridge
because it does have stability. I like everything, but I don't want to be the guy who follows Belichick. I can't win.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless, I wouldn't come here.
Yeah, unless he's, you know.
Just trying to get the experience?
Trying to get experience, or if you hire from within.
Mm. Oh, yeah. If it's Josh or somebody.
Yeah.
Dable.
So. Good
Patricia.
Talk. Good talk. All right, let's get to some emails here.
We should
at
probably,
Web Radio.
Have we talked about Pepper?
Yeah.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Eric brought it up.
Yeah. A lot of people emailing in. I wish we could go longer today, but we have to do our TV show, our last TV show at 2 o'clock.
Well, I know one's going to watch anyway.
I was hoping that they called and said, let's just bag that, given the weather.
Hoping they would do that about my 10:45 appearance tonight.
So we're contractually obligated to produce a show.
Are we really?
Yeah.
I don't think
there's 0.0 ratings.
Huh?
I think there was probably a number that we've already exceeded.
Oh, right. Really?
This is like a bonus issue.
That's true.
Because we can't control how long they're going in the playoffs.
All right, let's not do a show.
All right, we're out.
A little late now.
Fred, you want to do TV tonight, Fred?
No.
I'm booked for 10:45 in Burlington.
Ooh.
You know how long that's going to take me to get home after that?
Like, I think you should cancel.
That's what I told
that's
him.
It's unprofessional.
I don't think
no,
it is.
No, it isn't.
I think it's safe.
Maury gave me the out. I told him, I said, can you try to find somebody else who lives closer?
No, you just say, I just talked to my wife. We're already getting killed. I'm not coming.
I don't think it's as unprofessional.
They're going to find somebody.
Especially when you do it
this
early.
Where you live, it's already snowing.
Now, oh, my wife texted me and it's showing like hell.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not lying.
You don't think that's unprofessional?
No, in this case, no.
Fred, I actually think.
And you don't have a four-wheel drive, do you?
I have all-wheel drive.
Oh, then go.
Wow, that took a quick turn.
Real quick, all-wheel
drive doesn't help bounce off things. It just means you probably won't get stopped from moving forward.
Right. Fred,
you still fall off the road.
I think it's snowing on like half of Andy's estate, and the other half hasn't reached there yet.
That's true. He does have different weather reports for different parts of his property.
The part of his estate that's on the south coast is snowing.
Right.
They already did cancel
the other part that's
tomorrow.
On the North Shore. I don't think it has started.
The North Shore.
All right, let's try to go through some
Paul
of these
almost
emails.
Died the other day, you know.
Because
he's an a-hole.
We got emails, too.
He needs tires, and he won't get tires. The story was, quote, on those bald
baloney skins.
Baloney skins.
I do need new tires.
And it snows every week, and you'd think on like a day he'd say, I should probably get it.
Well, you really
that,
went bald,
be on my list
you?
This week now that I have a little time
after the snowstorm, good call.
Be on my list.
Hey, Paul, I'm researching a plow, so I can come just, you know,
yeah,
clear
I got
the way for
I couldn't
you.
Get up the hill
You're
to get to my house.
You're going to do some plowing on the side?
I'm looking into getting one.
Good.
A good used one. Yeah.
Going to get a nice Fisher?
Yeah, Fisher.
That's what I used to have.
You have a truck already?
I do. A Fisher SE. It's
going to beat the hell out of your truck, you know.
No, if you only do driveways and you're not doing too much
of
it,
how many
are
you
going
to do?
Probably like maybe, every time it snows, I'd say probably like a half dozen.
And what are you going to charge?
Nothing, just for friends and family.
Oh, that's a terrible investment.
No, I think it would be a good investment.
I'd like to have one.
Useful.
Oh, you should have kept the Jeep and put a small. They have them for the Jeeps.
I know.
That are fine for like a personal
right,
driver.
Right, right.
You can get a really.
And I had a six cylinder, so that would have been fine.
You can get a really decent used one.
That was
like
the only thing missing from that line.
I had a plow in a truck until the truck died.
Yeah.
You still drive a truck, don't you?
Well, I had a real truck. This is a. I had an F-250 with a big old Fisher on the front. It was fun.
Do you still have the plow?
No, I gave it to somebody.
Do you give it or sell it?
I gave it.
Because there's...
I just wanted to get rid of it. Because if you think about
it... I want my elliptical back,
once
by the way.
Do you really?
I'm only kidding.
I'll bring it back.
Oh, you don't want it anymore?
No, Dieter used it. I don't use
it.
Oh,
no, if you're using it, though.
Oh, yeah, Dieter used it.
I'm probably going to get something.
Did you really want it back?
No.
Because I would give it back to
if
you.
They if they weren't using it, I'll get another one.
You'll get a better one.
Yeah.
I knew he would get a better one.
But I think you can get, if you had a fit, you can get like $2,500 for a year.
Yeah, well, it was just one of those things. I knew somebody who needed one.
I wasn't expecting to see him here.
Because the problem is, once you get rid of the truck, a plow is massive and heavy.
No,
if the
I know.
The truck is no longer there to drive it in.
Right, yeah.
You can't move the damn thing. It weighs like a couple thousand pounds.
They have these minute mounts now, though. You can take them on and off in like less than 60 seconds.
I had a minute mount, but it was one. It
you
was
still
an
have
older
to
one.
Have the truck.
No, there. I know.
And they work well, but it's not necessarily a minute
have you,
mount.
There's a minute.
It might be a 5 minute mount.
Well, there's a minute
talking
mount
man
too
stuff
now.
They're probably better.
Yeah, when you watch them online, it's like insanely easy to do.
But I had one where it would be off by like a.
Minute
just
miles,
like a
huh?
half an inch, and
well, what they you know how you have that thing you have to drive into?
Yeah,
the new one it's much wider, so it's easy to just drive
a wider
right
gap.
Is yeah. that like banging on?
It's easier to get it in there.
Yeah. A minute
when you got a wide gap, it just slides
Paul,
right
they
in.
They have the minute mount too now.
Doesn't feel
all
as
right.
Good as
okay, much I want to get to some emails. Jeez.
Sorry.
Web radio.
Sorry for turning into Andy Burks,
and it's off season.
Web radio at patriots.com. Rob writes it. Now we'll have five people talking about
plows.
Well, there's a Patriot plow, right? Don't we have a
Fisher
plow?
Used to do one.
Oh, we don't anymore.
I don't know. I haven't seen the ad. Rob writes it. To me, the game was lost between the yards after catch or contact. I don't know the exact number, but Manning's 400 yards were probably more like 250 with 150 after the catch.
Tackling wasn't great. Logan Ryan, remember that Logan Ryan play? It was Sergio Brown-esque.
Yeah.
He just went to throw a shoulder in, but you know, didn't hit anything, just went right by.
That's why you're not supposed to throw the
those two
tackle
sucked.
The shoulder.
Ryan and Dennard really sucked. They were bad.
Yeah. I mean, I thought
Dennard couldn't cover anything.
And Andy, you made the comment. I thought he pushed the ball downfield several times in that game. Not
not
on bombs, but like 15, 25-yard crossing
between the
routes.
Hashes.
But downfield, deep in cuts.
Yeah.
I thought they hit a lot of them. Now, the email is right. They then took that 20-yard catch and made it a 30-yard catch. They got a lot of yards after the catch as well, don't you think?
Yeah, they did.
They then took that and they went
up.
That's what I was thinking.
Wes Welker writes in. He says, hey, Bill, you know what the worst play I've ever seen is? Your defense over the past 7 years.
Oh,
wow. Wes Welker getting back a little
now,
bit.
Now, do you think that is a – does he hate Bill Belichick?
Huh?
Does Wes Welker hate Bill Belichick?
I think he does now.
Because you made it pretty clear you think Bill does not care for Welker.
Yeah.
I think he does now, too.
Probably mutual,
I'm not sure he felt like that before.
No,
before
I agree.
I think it was just Bill being Bill.
Because did you see
before,
him?
But
he ran to seek out Bill after the game and shook his hand. It was a very quick handshake. And
Welker
knowing
did?
What you know now, knowing what you know now, you know why it was so quick on Bill's part.
Right.
Because he was seething over what Welker did.
Yeah.
But I think if Welker hated Bill, he wouldn't have bothered seeking him out in the middle
of
all that garbage on the field.
Right.
I bet he hates him now.
But I'll bet he does now.
He won't get any cookies.
Yeah, it's always good to stick it in Bill's face every once in a while. Nice.
little player.
Well, by the way, 4 catches, 38 yards. Nice little player, like I said.
Preston from Brockton.
Very little weapons to do with that team, though.
Very little to do with that game.
Fifth option.
Yeah, exactly. And he's right where he should be.
But would you be stunned if in the Super Bowl he catches 7 for 100? Like, he could be the... He's going to go to his grave saying, Welker sucks. You and Bill can agree on one thing where you're on the exact same page. Welker sucks. You were right.
Wait a minute. Why does it have
to be Merry Christmas?
Why does it have to be one or the other? Why does it have to be that he's great or he sucks?
Because
I think he just be a good player.
Because I'm sorry, I think 600 catches is greatness,
and that's okay.
There is
greatness. I don't sit there and tell you
you're catching the football is still a skill.
Okay, you put more emphasis on the reception than I do. That's all. It doesn't mean I think he sucks.
And again, I think you're aligned with Bill, and that's why we have Dobson, Tompkins, and all these guys who can't, you know, catch the football.
Different kind of receivers,
right? Because they don't, you know, catch the football.
Different kinds
on the first opportunity. We're still saying Kembrell Tompkins had the greatest catch of the year when it went through his hands, bounced off a safety, and then he caught it.
105 catches for Julian Edelman. That's what I'm talking about.
He had
about.
A nice year.
Right, exactly.
But this year, by the way, he would not have had 105 if the offense was constituted as expected.
Right.
He had 105 because Brady literally had no one to throw to other than him.
Although,
he had to run the ball.
But
Julian
Edelman
he treated Welker a lot of times.
105 for the next 5 years, I'll call him great, too.
I would too.
Yeah.
Because if he can stay on the field and catch those catches, I'll call him great. And I'll also feel guilty about it because he'll have a kazoo helmet on and be in a nursing home in 5 years.
If he has 5 years like he did this year, I won't. And you guys will be yelling at me about him too.
Right. No, that's fine. You're consistent.
And yet he'll still love Drew Bledsoe. Ooh, tall, throw far, me like!
Right. But I say that he's better than Tom Brady, right?
Because you have to. You lost that one. That one is over. You cannot argue that Brady's better than Bledsoe.
Exactly, Andy.
When
information presents itself that would make an argument ludicrous,
Paul,
you adjust.
You're right. If Calvin Johnson had followed up Wes Welker, you could not have continued to say, anybody catches ball. I told you the next guy would do it. You have to acknowledge greatness. But you have a little bit of an out with Edelman because it was his first year.
I don't even
know
what he's talking about.
Well, because when it's obvious, yes, you say you're wrong. When it's pretty close to obvious, you don't.
Again, this all comes back to one simple fact. You put a lot more emphasis on a reception than I do. I look at a reception
like a carry for
a running back.
When my receivers get open, I want them to catch the ball. I like my quarterback to throw to somebody who doesn't deflect it back into the ground like Brandon Marshall looking for a new contract.
Now Brandon Marshall's not any good.
No.
We wouldn't take Brandon Marshall over
when
Wes
he was
Welker.
Looking for a new contract. Okay. When I was running out of breath, he didn't listen to the sentence.
So why bother?
Because you were running out of breath.
Why bother with that comparison?
Because these receivers bat the balls down.
On purpose.
No. They wish it was on purpose. They can't catch. But you don't think catching is a skill.
Not those catches. Calvin Johnson-like catches, Larry Fitzgerald-like, that's a skill.
But how come not everybody catches it? How come Danny Amendola runs over the middle of the field and bats it down like Brandon Marshall looking for a new contract?
He had one drop.
That was a big drop. There's no skill in that.
Was that a big drop?
When it's your only play of the day, it's a big drop. Well, he dropped 100% of his opportunities in the game.
If you're going to use that, then Welker's not very good then because he had a lot of drops.
Who has more drops?
Welker.
Who?
Last game.
Oh.
Oh, last game?
Yeah.
Well, it was tied because Welker had one and so did Amendola.
Yeah, but Amendola dropped 100% of his
passes. Welker didn't have a drop last game.
I thought he did.
Of course you thought he did.
He didn't get the ball thrown to him enough.
Otherwise,
he would have dropped.
Paul, don't watch now. They're showing this litany of highlights of
Welker
making
great. Catches.
Oh, yeah. Dime a dozen. Dime a dozen. Paul could have done that.
Preston and Brockton, can we please get a new receiver and a new coordinator on defense? I'm not feeling Bill controlling everything. We can't get over the hump if we don't have talent in the playoffs. I'm sick of us having a suspect defense every single year. It's disgusting. What are your thoughts on what we need going forward? Well, we've talked about that. Yeah.
By the way, a little thing that snuck up on me that I didn't really know for some reason was the 26th in third down defense.
Oh, that was a problem all year. Hmm.
I knew it was a problem, but I didn't know it was... I mean, a few years ago, they were 29th, and it was like the story of the season.
I think they were 32nd one of the years recently. Were they not?
29th. Maybe. But I didn't know
they
were that bad.
No, I think they probably
bad.
Were 29th one year, too. I think they were dead last in third down defense.
That snuck up on me. I didn't know they were that bad.
Juve is in West Palm Beach. Tough loss. I'm so glad you guys keep doing the show during the off season. During the game for me, it got to the point that I didn't even want us to make a comeback because it would be a bigger disappointment coming up short. I too am very disappointed about the game and not the season. with all the injuries, murders. We still made it pretty far. I guess the Super Bowl, I'll be watching the commercials. I always look forward to your shows.
But
you
the funny part is, murders. He didn't add the S just to fit in.
No.
It's
murders.
Actually murders.
I know.
That's the scary part.
Hello for a while, because you're probably wanted for murder.
That really escalated.
Find a safe
quickly.
Ed writes
okay.
in.
You get into a fight, murder happens.
You keep reminding Patriots fans to take consolation that their team advances to the AFC Championship game 3 games in a row. Did the Buffalo Years. Fans feel fantastic after their 4th Super Bowl loss? A loss is a loss no matter how you gloss over it. We need better evaluators of talent along with taking a more aggressive approach in free agency. Once Brady retires, it will be a long time before we ever see another AFC Championship game appearance again.
Not necessarily.
You know?
I don't buy that.
So every team that doesn't have Tom Brady has no chance.
Yeah, I don't buy that argument.
That doesn't make
no,
sense.
No, but it's hard to get back up the mountain
it's hard.
Once you roll down.
I think that unless you have a ridiculous infusion of talent, you're going to have a hard time without Brady getting to the AFC Championship game. But the Buffalo analogy.
Which is hard to do, by the way, to get a new quarterback
and
have
a lot of other
talent.
Yeah.
If you have one, okay, you can do what you need to do to get the other. But if you do what you need to do to get the other, you're probably not going to be able to make the rest of the roster good.
True. That Buffalo analogy. No one's saying that you should be happy that you lost the games. No, I mean, no one's suggesting that. But let's not make it out to be that this is a disgrace. Because that seems to be, we talk about the hyperbole that Andy and I use when we argue with each other.
That's, we do?
It tends to go, well, they don't have a defense. They don't have a run. They don't have this. They don't have that. And when are they going to do it? You know, it's the same problems. They can't get any pressure on the passer. Yeah, they have some issues that a really good team is trying to become great. And there's some issues that are holding them back right now. But let's put it in perspective. When Fred says that they've been to 3 AFC title games in a row, he's trying to tell you there's about 25 other teams that would kill to have the roster the Patriots have.
Right. Robin in Alaska, in regards to Bill's comments, I don't see a reason to gawk. Everyone is human. Bill let his guard down, and I don't think that hurts him. The world hasn't ended yet. With that said, the blame for the game goes to the coaches first, O-line second, and then Brady. The game plan was obviously written by Rain Man. The O-line played softer than the Pillsbury Doughboy. Brady looked like the love child of Mr. Magoo. The only bright side is that as bad as the Patriots played, as lopsided as the game was, they still had a shot at the end.
No, they didn't.
I don't get the Rain Man reference.
I don't know.
I don't get really hot in any of that.
Well, I get the Mr. Magoo. You know, he like stumbles through everything because he can't really see.
Did you think Brady was
think Brady was stumbling.
He couldn't see Edelman open.
I think he saw him. I think he missed him.
Oh, Jesus. He's going to bring fuck.
Megan writes in, first, thanks for
being here.
Did you
think that Brady was that bad?
No, I didn't.
Because even I didn't think Brady was that bad.
I thought he was fine.
And I'm
so now he's gone
critical.
Two straight with just irrelevant games?
Well, he's settled right into his groove of what the last 16 playoff games have been. I mean, let's say it the way it is.
Hey, Fred, there's a
picture. Do I have to get the numbers for you?
There's a what?
There's a picture of Coach Belichick in some dive restaurant here that's circulating the internet on Twitter.
From when?
From right now.
Like he's down. Oh, he's there right now?
Yeah, he must be down at like the Senior Bowl, and he's in some bar. But he's in a restaurant and bar, and like there's people like incognito taking pictures of him.
I saw a commercial that was showing on NFL Network.
He's talking to people, but I can't see who he's with. Their backs are turned.
Okay.
You can just see his
face. Is it
on
Twitter? How do I find it?
It's on Twitter.
That's what I'm looking for.
Look for
now.
Chris Price.
While you're looking at Megan writes in, first, thanks for being here for us fans, and thanks for carrying us into this offseason. About the game, sure, it was disappointing to see the Patriots lose in the fashion they did Sunday, but I don't see how anyone can be disappointed where this team went this year. They definitely overachieved, and I'm proud of them as a fan. They gave me and my family some wonderful entertainment. Before I let you go, I was curious, at what positions do you guys think we need in the draft, and if you think they try to grab a veteran receiver in the offseason? Yeah, we've talked about that. I say everything. Best player available.
The lines, definitely receiver, tight end, and a cornerback.
TG and NJ, seems the Patriots' deficiencies on both defense and offense finally caught up to them. The better team won. Still find it ironic that it was Wes who took Tlaib out on a pick technique that Belichick himself coaches. Karma is a bitch. Where does the animosity between Wes and Belichick stem from? Maybe when Belichick held him out of the Jets game after the best foot forward presser, or has Belichick just been listening to Paulie? I like that the Belichick, the GM, is hurting Belichick. The coach talk is out there again. Maybe he'll listen. Is there anyone who can criticize him that he will listen to? The Krafts, Ernie Adams, Tom Brady? Is Belichick losing his shine in New England? As much as he is a curmudgeon, I shudder to think what things will be like when he is no longer here. We need better talent, and we need that talent to stay healthy. That's true.
Yeah, he's definitely in a dive bar or a dive restaurant.
There's
yeah.
a sign. Well, they're above, in Mobile. They're in, so,
yeah,
I mean,
there's a sign above. There's signs all over the ceiling and walls, and he's standing next to a post talking to somebody whose back is to us. And the sign above him says "Gladiator." What the cannibal said after he ate the female.
Oh, see man. Now,
wow. some other quick news. Patriots somewhat related. Jason Light, you remember him
yep.
from the personnel?
I thought it was
yes.
licked.
Jason.
He's the Bucks' new general manager.
Oh. So, see, Fred, you never know if he dips into the Patriots pool.
Yeah. True.
Was with Arizona.
So does that mean we can continue to rape and pillage the Bucks roster?
Possibly.
Good.
Wasn't Lionel Vitale also a finalist for that job?
He is staying, I believe, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But he was also involved in that job,
yeah,
right?
I believe he was not the finalist. There was another guy that Light was up against and was not Vitale.
Indiana, Matt says, another postseason loss that will be tough to get over, especially since it was a loss to Penis Head. Fred, my wife loves this nickname, and you are a god in her eyes. I have an appointment to get her eyes checked.
So your wife loves Penis Head?
This season exceeded my expectation, even after all the injuries, and if we can't improve at the pass-catching positions, I look forward to another playoff run next year.
Pass-catching's over.
I thought the hit
says.
By the receiver was a cheap shot. To me, it looked like Welker went down at Tlaib to hit him in the waist hip area with his shoulder.
He did not.
I was
Eric's
with
right.
Bill's comments yesterday, up until he called it the worst he had ever seen. I think this discredits the comments he made on the play.
I wonder if he regrets that. I wonder if he got going and he meant to say the first couple. And then it's, remember, Fred, when you said that Kevin Falk's the best running back in the AFC.
Right. I sound like qualified.
I think he started, like, maybe he got a little going and he because that is just so ridiculous for somebody who's been around football as long as he
yeah.
is.
Because if he didn't say the last line,
yeah,
you could have an out about the first part.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He took him out.
Right.
He deliberately took him out. You could
right.
say,
on
of the play.
Right. On the play, yeah.
But when he says it's the worst play I've seen,
right.
Right. That implies
that to me eliminates
injury.
any ambiguity mm-hmm. for
right.
the first part.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a totally unrelated note, we were talking about great billionaires earlier when we were talking about Robert Kraft. Warren Buffett putting up $1 billion to anyone who can get a perfect March Madness bracket.
Wow.
A billion? $1 billion?
Better start studying your basketball, Fred.
And, wow, that's...
The more you study, the less
yeah,
you
know.
Because people have done right. that. It's not like it's never been done.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Wouldn't that be awesome? And I'm not saying for me. I'm saying if he gives somebody $1 billion...
Well, the odds against that are so huge. Like they have those contests every year. If you
right.
go on like ESPN or
yep.
whatever, no one ever wins.
But it has happened.
Oh no, Fred's right. It can happen. Absolutely.
Wasn't there like some grandmother in Sawyer who
it was
did
a
it?
Nun who
it
used
happens.
To do it all the
it
time.
It happens every not, once well, in a while. Someone wins one.
There
of those.
Used to be this nun who was like really good at picking March Madness. No, I'm serious.
That's not fair. She had God on her side.
Yeah, maybe.
Although that
she made it a habit.
well done.
Mike from Connecticut. People are slamming Brady because he goofed on a handful of plays, the only plays that were on the table. When Manning misfires, he has more opportunities. When Brady does, the Patriots lose.
That's true.
That's true.
That's the fine line.
Right.
They needed him to be better. He is the guy.
Yep.
I don't dispute any of that, but that's the way yeah. it is.
And I also would eliminate the plays that he didn't make if he made more. You know,
right.
I mean, if they ended up losing the game, you know, 38-34, and he missed fired on the pass to Edelman, I wouldn't kill him for it.
Right.
But they had 3 points with 10 minutes left.
Alan Austin, did you guys notice that Bill looked more emotional after this loss? After a loss, he usually looks irritated. It seems to me that with all the team went through this year, Bill is quite proud of them and seemed fairly emotional. I'm proud of this team, but was disappointed with their performance. Looking forward to next season. As far as the Welker hit, it's just football. When I played Pop Warner, even back then, we were told always lay the hit on the other team. Well, that's good as opposed to your own team. But
Florida didn't get that lesson.
Well, did you see that the Texas stuff? With some of those I've seen commercials for it. There's a new one of those like documentaries, Friday Night Tykes, they call it.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these Texas guys are just out of control. But, yes, I agree with the emailer's viewpoint of Belichick post-game. I thought he was emotional. I thought he did very much enjoy coaching this particular team. And I think he's proud. He said it a million different times. I'm proud of him. how proud he was to coach this team. And I think that was genuine. I thought there was legit emotion coming from him on Sunday afternoon.
Alex in Montreal, love the show. Looking forward to you guys making the long offseason bearable and entertaining. Overall, I don't think we can be disappointed by the team's performance this year, given all the critical injuries. They showed some serious determination and gave us some of the craziest comebacks and one of the most entertaining seasons I can remember. I just wanted to quickly chime in on Bill's comments regarding Welker's hit on Tlaib. It seems pretty unusual for Bill to single out another player from the opposing team, and to me, it seems like there's definitely some beef between the two and that maybe their personal issues played a part in Welker leaving the team. Do you think this may have started when Belichick benched Welker in that Jets game for the feet comments? I always felt like Bill went too far in that instance and went against his doing what's best for the team policy. I know it was only one series, but still, I would have been pretty pissed if I was Welker. Anyway, just some speculation, but was wondering what you guys thought about it. Thanks again for the awesome show and looking forward to 2014. You know, this morning on the radio, they were going through all the little things that point to that Belichick didn't like Welker and the reasons why they included the foot thing. But, you know, the other thing that I haven't heard mentioned, at least today, was the start of last season when all of a sudden Julian Edelman was going to be the guy and Welker seemingly for some reason wasn't out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was another. Yep. Now you look back at that in hindsight, and back then, well, we were going to run the ball more and Edelman's a better blocker. Yeah. But now you look back in hindsight.
Oh, he's a trained assassin,
according to Bill. now, you know, you say, wow, you know, that probably was for more than just that reason.
Could be.
You know?
Well, yeah, that's part of the whole narrative, to use Matt Chatham's favorite phrase, of the disconnect between Belichick and Welker.
Yeah.
And it probably did start with that foot soldier press conference against the Jets. And it escalated with the contract. They had to franchise him because they couldn't get a long-term deal out. Then after he gets franchised, he couldn't get another long-term deal because he didn't want to include that as part of the deal. And as a result, he ended up getting benched to start the season. And we all thought it was strange, right?
Yeah.
On this show, we all thought it was strange that he was benched. And we weren't buying the whole running thing that...
we weren't.
No, I don't. I think Fred was with us. I think Fred thought it was odd that he was not playing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sit here and say that I think that Wes Welker's a great player and then be okay that he's not out on the field.
Plus, if you're going to run the ball, as Andy said, Bill thinks he's a trained assassin. Yeah. I think you'd want him as part of the running
ball. Take him out. Take him out.
Speaking of nitpicks.
Hey, John Rook.
Didn't sound very nice.
There's hi,
some
guys.
Tone in that.
We haven't put dirt on the season yet, and the headphones were already gone from in here? What's up with that?
You can have these one-eared ones.
Oh, thanks. Wow.
That's all right. Mine don't
I didn't have to leave very long, and we're already through.
You'd think a trained professional would bring your own cans.
No. I learned a long time ago. Too cheap.
Oh.
In a land of no headphones, the one-eared man is king.
She's such an idiot.
So what do you think, John?
Got your four
mad, disappointed, expected.
Well, I think it was somewhat expected. And certainly I can understand disappointment, but in all honesty, I thought Denver had too many weapons. I think they proved that to be true. I don't know what to make of the whole Welker Tlaib thing other than, you know, he looked like he was running a pick. Picks are allegedly illegal. I don't think he intended to hurt him. So I think a lot of people are getting up in arms about, you know, what Coach Belichick might have said, but I think you need to listen to his words a little bit more carefully. I don't think he said he did anything illegal there. I think he did something that, you know, was intentionally, you know, I guess against the rules.
He made it sound like it was more unethical than illegal.
He said it was one of the worst plays he's ever seen.
I think he was tending to believe that was an unethical move.
Right.
But other than that, there's nothing illegal about it. So, you know, I mean, other than should have been a flag, I'm a little curious as to why maybe there wasn't a flag on that one and there was on Ho'omanawanui's.
Yeah, and I think that's
earlier
fair
in the game.
To wonder if there should have been a flag, I think is fair. To wonder if it was a malicious, dirty act, I think is ludicrous.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. It's a little bit ridiculous.
Well, John, this is your last show of the season.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for your hard work this week, this season. I know a lot of people appreciated it. They told us so. They really enjoy the playbook. So
they won't tell you. They won't give you the satisfaction.
No, they will.
No.
So have a good show. it was a great, and also, you know, your work during the games as the voice of the Patriots.
It's another Patriots.
It's a great.
Well,
you know,
not on Sunday. But
you saw a lot of
in other games.
Yeah, in other games.
What was your,
excluding
and that
Sunday.
Was the Patriots' first down.
What was your What was your favorite home game this season?
I'd have to say probably, just off the top of my head, probably New Orleans, just because of the way that it ended, you know, with the last-second touchdown pass. Pretty exciting stuff, I'd have to say. That was a very good game.
What about Denver?
Denver was a pretty good one, too, except I wasn't here for it.
There you go.
So I can't really include that one.
Okay.
Pittsburgh for ass whoopings.
I would go New Orleans.
But yeah, New Orleans. Yeah,
New Orleans was pretty fun.
Pretty good opponent.
Back and forth.
Back and forth game.
Good team.
It really looked like they were done.
Right.
They were out.
Yeah.
And
threw that pick and then got another chance.
So I'd have to go with Nollins.
All right, John. We'll have a good show. We have to go up and tape our TV show.
Have fun, boys.
We will see you on Thursday. Keep you in the dark and so it all begins.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.